about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We gotta get better, man. We came out the last couple days and did good. This was bull. Let's turn it around. We gotta have a great day today, man. Let's go. Get better. 1, 2, 3. Get better.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo.
Tesla brought the X-ray photo to the world, brought the AC power to the world. Tesla ushered the radio wave into the world, ushered the neon light into the world.
Really, Kevin? Really? Really?
Yeah, what's up?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Could a father not marry his son?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is America.
Roll another one.
The hour's coming.
Just like the other one.
Open up a blog.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Hey, one more thing.
Nope.
Roll another one.
I like penis.
Just like the other one.
Bitches are crazy.
This one seems to be about to end.
Enough of your jibber jabber.
I don't have another cent.
Be careful on the April Fool's jokes.
Bitches be crazy.
Just pass it around.
Show of hands, who else has an erection?
Oh, please, don't turn this into a gay thing.
Pass it on down.
And now.
We talk about buying an island. And just everybody who wants to just come and live on the island with their monkeys.
Our feature presentation.
Utopia right there.
I love it.
It's a great, great idea.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 5th of April, and it's 5:34.
That means Justin Bieber would have to go live on an island, by the way, if they had a monkey island.
Yeah. And then he'd get his face torn off by at least one of those monkeys.
Maybe so.
That'd be great.
Like to give a shout out to the fine men and women of law enforcement in Southern California and in the great United States of America who do very, very difficult work, very oftentimes unpleasant and scary and dangerous things, and they put their lives on the line day in and day out to protect us, the citizen. Would you guys agree with me on every word I just said?
So far, yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, here's a story of America.
But coming.
There's no but at all.
All right.
And police officers are the best. Right. Look, I watch Southland, man. I know how cool they are. Here's a an American hero, and I fear that this country's going down the wrong path if they're going to turn on this guy. If this guy is going to get arrested and charged with something, then I feel like what police officer can even do his job if we're going to come down on this man? He is from Homestead, Pennsylvania. His name is Ronald DePellegrin, 48 years old, and he was doing a little undercover work. Important undercover work, you know, to rid the streets of the sex trade workers. Get those prostitutes off the street. So he set up an appointment with a 26-year-old, very attractive woman named Diana Gross, right, and had her over to the house.
Unfortunately named, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. She should change that just for her job, right?
Well,
maybe
I'm sure
she did.
Maybe she's
using
Autumn
a different,
or something else when she's on the street.
Yeah, different name in the field, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, being a good American, he is doing his duty. He's willing to put himself in that dangerous situation to go undercover to find hookers, and he has her over to the house and has her give him oral sex before informing her that he was a cop.
Really? Did he have to do that by law?
No, you've seen it on the TV. All you need to do is get them to agree to perform a sexual act for money, and that's when you say, "Ooh, not your lucky day, sweetheart. I am a police officer."
But he didn't. He wasn't sure that she really meant it.
Well, he had to be sure. He had to be positive,
being thorough.
Right.
I think that he would like you on his defense team.
Right.
So he got oral sex before he informed her that he was a police officer, according to the criminal complaint. She went by the name Becky Diamond, Kevin.
Oh, there you go.
That was the name she was using on the street.
A lot better than Gross.
Apparently, there's a website called the Pittsburgh Back Page, which must be some sort of a, Craigslist classifieds type.
Sure.
She was advertising herself for sex, so he called her over to the house. Then she performed oral sex on him, and then afterwards he said, "Oh no, the cops are coming." So she jumped up and started getting dressed, in which case he retrieved his badge and said, "The cops are already here. You're under arrest."
What a dick. Officer.
Right?
Oh, no, they're coming. And then she jumps up.
Well, I think he meant it in a different
way. Well,
I
don't know.
It's true.
We're not sure about the timing of when he yelled that.
But they are saying, in case you're curious, by the way, that they are still going to go forward with the prosecution of the prostitute, saying that there's no issue, no constitutional issue because of how far it went. She still is, on the hook for potentially hooking.
But isn't
no
he?
Pun intended. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's been arrested as well.
Oh, he's on the hook as well.
But what they're saying is because he was arrested, because he did what he did, doesn't mean she didn't do what she did.
Right, exactly.
So she doesn't, no pun intended, get off just because of what he did. So
there's so many puns in the whole thing. No pun intended.
That wasn't thorough enough for me. If I'm undercover, I'm thinking, three or four times to be sure.
Just because she did it once doesn't make her a hooker. Invite her back the next weekend and see what she does.
Every woman has an off day.
By the way, $145 for a half hour, in case you're curious of what the going rate is there.
$145 for a half hour.
Yeah. And sounds I don't know high. if you get a refund if you don't need the whole half hour, but I doubt it. I'm not saying I'm cheap. I'm just saying,
no.
I can still have 8 minutes left. Come on.
Tell you what, I'm cheaper than that.
Bean wants a 29-minute refund.
and then you got to deal with the tip, because then she said, "Hey, I'm gonna be performing your oral sex today. Will you take care of me when you're done?" Then how much do you give her? It's all very complicated.
Sure.
Oh wait, I'm thinking of the car wash. Never mind.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yeah, buddy.
That's what I'm saying. Michael Schneider will be on the program.
Yeah,
TV Guide Los Angeles Bureau, talking about the Jay Leno and the Jimmy Fallon thing.
Oi.
And if NBC is actually handling it well this time or not. After that big, ridiculous Conan O'Brien scandal.
I'm going to guess no.
You're going to guess no?
I'm just going to guess
They're
that.
Making something called a bacon condom. Looks like bacon. Tastes like bacon, from what I hear. So we're going to talk to the guy that's behind that, the real dude.
Okay.
Let's ask Beer Mug. Does it taste like bacon?
I haven't
tasted. Liar. Mike Realm will be here. He's a video remixer that we're going to have at Foolishness tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Finally tomorrow. After all this talk, it's tomorrow. I'm very excited. We are going to talk to Matt Barnes of the LA Clippers.
Wow.
About their game tonight, their season, the playoffs are approaching. And speaking of professional athletes, we are going to talk to CJ Wilson as well from the Angels.
Excellent.
So that's coming up, and the movie beat as it's Friday, and we've got your tickets in the How You Like Me Now section for April Foolishness. That's all on the way. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Very special day for Depeche Mode fans. K-Rock this morning and throughout the day has tickets for Depeche Mode at the end of September at Staples Center in the first row. Come on. Front row seats to see Depeche Mode. That's the best deal ever, right?
I would say so. Sure.
Anyway, we'll have those tickets for you this morning. First time for you this morning is going to be in the 7 o'clock hour between 7 and 8. Win your tickets in the first row for Depeche Mode. Tickets are on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. You get those details at krock.com. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Hey, what's up?
You tell us, man.
Not Roger Ebert.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on.
That's a touching tribute.
I'm just saying. The legendary film reviewer passed away yesterday at the age of 70. Had battled cancer for off and on for a long time. And just a couple days ago, he wrote that he was slowing down his output because of his work, because he was going to be receiving another round of treatment. But it was not meant to be. As they said in his obituary, Roger Ebert loved movies, except for those he hated.
He was very opinionated, that's for sure.
He was. Where's your hilarious video game sound effects and stuff like
that?
Come
on now.
So until next week, the balcony is closed.
There you go, the balcony is closed. Just to give you an idea about
until forever?
Critics in general and Roger Ebert specifically. Here's a list of movies that Roger Ebert didn't like. Movies he gave negative reviews to.
All right.
Which is how he should be remembered.
Stanley Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange. Didn't care for that one.
Okay.
Yeah, what a piece of crap that is. Dead Poets Society, The Fight Club, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Reservoir Dogs, Full Metal Jacket, Straw Dogs, Blue Velvet, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Harold and Maude, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Didn't care for
what?
Those films.
Sounds like a film festival, doesn't it?
Wow. So it just goes to show you, nobody knows anything. But he will be missed by a lot of people because he came up in a time before the internet and when all there was movie reviews in the paper, and then he put it on television. Everybody's like, this is cool. We get to watch two guys talk about movies every week. This is awesome. And he really sort of changed the nature of film criticism from critic as sort of anonymous voice to critic as celebrity. And he will be missed by some.
You didn't not care all. For him so not much, did you?
Here's the thing. I am...
Yes.
I think there are certain critics who try to draw attention to themselves by the work that they do rather than have sort of an interesting discourse about film. I think there's really good film criticism, and then I think there's those who try to be clever or snarky just to attract attention to themselves. I think Ebert liked the spotlight, and he liked that the celebrity aspect of being a critic. So, I mean, it seemed like he's a guy, and he certainly loved movies, but...
Not all.
Not all of them. This couples therapy show. This is a mess. What's going on over there?
Who's on it now?
Well, I know Flava Flav and his fiancée, Liz Trujillo, are on it. She was rushed to the hospital last Monday, as I mentioned, for either an overdose of painkillers or because she was really tired. We haven't really found out which one. But now the entire cast has been evacuated from the house because of a fire that got started in the house.
What?
Apparently a production light burned through a couch and started a fire. But everyone, sadly, is okay. So looks like couples therapy will go on. Hey, here's an idea for a show. Gene Simmons, he's a genius, right? From Kiss, bassist,
sure.
Singer from Kiss.
Sure.
He's a genius. He has an idea for a show where they hide a camera and then they pull pranks on people.
Well, you can't do that on television.
Oh, well, I beg to differ because Gene Simmons is doing it. It's kind of like Punk'd.
Right.
Only, wait for it, the pranks are pulled on some of the world's biggest rock bands.
So it's exactly
really
like Punk'd.
It's called, rock band Punk'd?
It's called Busted.
Oh.
Gene Simmons Busted.
Nope.
Is there nothing he won't do for money? And finally, we have a start date for Arrested Development's new episodes.
Yes, please.
The latest and greatest season of Arrested Development will begin on Netflix on Sunday, May the 26th. We have a start date. Each of the 15 episodes will reportedly focus on a single character with guest shots from the likes of Seth Rogen, Kristen Wiig, Liza Minnelli, Conan O'Brien, John Slattery, Isla Fisher, Terry Crews, and others in addition to the Bluth family. So, good stuff.
That is going to test the servers at Netflix when they make all 15 of those available at the same time for anyone who's a subscriber.
Isn't that the truth?
Can't wait.
And today, maybe you want to head on down to the Hollywood Walk of Fame because Penn and Teller are getting their star this morning.
No kidding.
Yeah, 11:30 a.m. They will be getting their star just a few steps away from Harry Houdini's star. How appropriate. Speaking at the unveiling will be David Copperfield, Trey Parker, and Matt Stone.
Really?
That's an interesting grouping. So you may want to check that out together. Speaking of celebrities and fun Hollywood things to do, how would you like to go to a red carpet movie premiere? We rarely give away these tickets this early, but I want to give some love to the people who are up early this morning listening to us. I've got tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Oblivion.
Yeah!
That looks good.
Brand new sci-fi movie starring Tom Cruise, Morgan Freeman, and others. Cruise plays the last man on Earth until he finds out he's not. I could have sold that better.
I liked it.
Oblivion's in theaters everywhere on April the 19th. However, the red carpet world premiere of Oblivion is happening at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood Wednesday, April the 10th. Would you like to go? Of course you would. You can hang out with Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman and all the other stars. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. first five callers through at that number will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of Oblivion. Today's celebrity birthdays. Paula Cole, singer and songwriter, is 45 years old today. Guitarist Mike McCready of Pearl Jam celebrates his 47th birthday. Christopher Reed, he's Kid of Kid and Play.
Oh.
49 years old.
Is he the one with the crazy hair, Ralph?
I believe
was that Play?
Play had the wacky hairdo. I can't right. be sure, but...
Kid has the eraser head.
Kid has eraser head.
Yeah.
We just got that in from
mm-hmm.
the,
just came in.
The other room.
Yep.
It's amazing what they actually listen to.
Yeah, it is.
We could be hanging out here with real facts for days, but the Kid and Play, they got the immediate answer
right
to
on it.
Right at their fingertips.
And actor Mitch Pileggi. Remember him from X-Files?
Sure.
Totally.
How great he was as Skinner on that show. Great actor. He's working all the time. 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Going to talk to a real-life professional baseball player in about a half an hour. You know that always makes me a little bit nervous, Kevin.
Yeah,
I love the baseball players.
Being is speechless around certain baseball players, and I've never seen him that way around any other celebrity.
Nope, you're right.
I think I'll be fine. I think I'm over it. Right. I think I had a lot of trouble with that in the early days, but I do really look up to baseball players so much, and I don't know why, because most of them are doofuses. But C.J. Wilson, pitcher for the Los Angeles Angels, joins us in about a half an hour. Ralph's got the movie beat coming up. Speaking of movies, Jeremy Irons in the news. This is a guy who, even if you don't know his name, you would totally recognize his face. He's been in a million movies. Won an Oscar previously, but he was in The Man in the Iron Mask. He was in Die Hard with a Vengeance. Dead Ringers is the movie I think of him in. Reversal of Fortune, Damage. He's just one of those guys who's just a real strong British actor, good-looking guy. He's got the big, deep voice.
Yeah.
And he's in a controversial situation right now, which is, I think some people are kind of misinterpreting, because he doesn't have a problem with same-sex marriage. He's a libertarian. He's like, I don't care who wants to get married. But he was given an interview to HuffPost Live, and here's the point he brought up that I don't think anybody has considered when you're debating same-sex marriage.
Could a father not marry his son?
Well, there are laws against incest.
It's not incest between men. Incest is there to protect us from having inbreeding. But men don't breed, therefore they... So incest wouldn't cover that. Now, if that was so, then if I wanted to pass on my estate without death duties, I could marry my son and pass on my estate to him.
No, that sounds like a total red herring.
So, I have to agree.
Kevin, do you see a lot of sons and fathers wanting to run out and get married if gay marriage turns out to be legalized?
According to Jeremy, we really need to worry about that.
Well, we wanted to find out if we were just reading too much into it or misinterpreting it, so we asked producer Dave if he could line up Mr. Irons, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Jeremy.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're very good. Thank you.
Good.
Do you feel like you sort of stepped in it a bit?
No,
you
not
don't.
At all. No.
Huh.
I believe many people are not considering all the ramifications of what could happen if same-sex marriage is actually approved.
Could you clarify your level of concern that fathers and sons will want to marry, though? Because
yes.
That seems real unlikely, sir.
I have a real fear that fathers and sons will be getting married if we have same-sex marriage legalized in America.
Sounds absurd to us.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it really does.
Well, you won't believe that when your son or father comes to you and says, let's get married.
That would never happen.
Oh, but it will.
No, but is there something in your...
Oh, but it will.
Is there something in your family that you'd like to tell us about?
No, but my fear is my son comes to me and says, let's keep all the money in the family and let's get mm-hmm. married and live together, and you put on a dress and I'll put on a tutu, and the next thing you know, we're all eating ham sandwiches out of the back of a van.
I'm not sure how we got to the van, but so basically, you're not talking about it in a sexual way at all. It's basically just a tax dodge. That's what your fear is.
Yes, and my fear is that it will dilute the quality of marriage and the significance of marriage. First, fathers and sons will begin to wed. I think we can all agree on that.
What? No one.
On that.
And next thing you know, women will be marrying toasters. Because what better way to get free toast than to be married to your toaster? And then, out of obligation, your toaster has to provide you all the free toast you can consume. And the next thing you know, you're eating ham sandwiches.
Why are you eating ham sandwiches out of a van?
And are these ham sandwiches made with toast? Because that just is weird.
Of course they are. Because the woman's toast husband would be providing her with all the toast she can eat. And then the ham sandwich.
Now, will the ham sandwich marry the van at any point?
Don't be silly. That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
A toaster and a van can't be married. It's madness.
All right. So you got Dad marrying Junior.
Right.
Then you've got Mom marrying the toaster.
Yes. Or right. another household appliance, perhaps a coffee maker or
sure.
a Cuisinart.
Right.
But my fear is women and household appliances will then begin to breed, and then we have large legions of cyborg type half human, half machines walking through the streets.
This is a real fear of yours. You okay, Mr. Irons? Jerry?
And the next thing you know, they're all eating ham sandwiches.
Ham sandwiches in the back of the van. Okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up for us, sir. It is Friday morning. You know, with Mr. Ebert gone, Ralph, you move up one notch for movie reviewers.
Yeah.
You're a little closer to being the best reviewer in the world now.
That's me, serious film reviewer, Ralph Garman.
Guy who hasn't seen any movies.
That's right.
That doesn't stop us every day, every week, rather, at this time, bringing you Ralph Garman and the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Five movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. All new films, if you don't count the re-release, of course, of Jurassic Park in 3D. Which looks good to me. I might check that out.
Yeah, it does to me, too.
That's a great movie. If you're going to put something into 3D that you'd like to see converted, that would be the one, right?
I didn't see any of the Jurassic
Park what a shock.
Movies, but
what a surprise.
One was great.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
The other ones were
okay.
Fine, but it just became a series of special effects. But the first one's story really was sort of compelling. Initially, I thought this was a re-release in 3D of Your Ass Sick Park. But it wasn't, sadly. I'd like to see that in 3D as well. Also opening up this weekend, The Company You Keep. Director Robert Redford brings you a new film. This is ground that he has sort of trod on before. It's a thriller about a journalist who uncovers a secret. And, of course, Redford famously starred in All the President's Men, based on the Woodward and Bernstein uncovering of what was going on with Watergate. In this film, he plays an editor and... His name's not on the list here, but I know it's Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Plays the journalist who has to uncover what's going on with a former member of the Weather Underground, the activist group from the 60s. Here's a scene from the film where Shia LaBeouf tells Redford that he thinks he's starting to unravel the secret.
So, at first I think Grant is trying to link up with the others.
Yeah.
Help negotiate a deal, bring them in like Solaris tried.
Yeah, well, that would make a good story.
Gets so much better. So I go and I look at the man's history, right? See if he has any known associations to the Weatherman.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. The man doesn't exist before 1979. Look at this. I had it wrong, Ray. He's dead. Jim Grant is not trying to represent Mimi Lurie or Nick Sloan. Jim Grant is Nick Sloan.
Looks like a good flick.
I don't know why we're all screaming, but
I love Robert Redford as a director.
I love him as an actor.
Yeah. Six Souls is a new film in limited release starring Julianne Moore and Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Fascinating concept. Julianne plays a female psychiatrist who discovers that one of her patients, who has multiple personality disorder, all of his personalities are all murder victims. She has to find out what's going on with him and with those people. Here's a creepy scene from the movie where Julianne Moore finds her daughter playing in the park with this patient who has multiple personalities, and he starts to talk to her in lots of different voices.
Sammy was wonderful. I think she's going
to
be.
I want you to stay away from my family.
But you invited me.
I didn't know such thing.
At the hospital?
What hospital?
When you came to see me. Cece, are you all right?
What did you call me?
Little Cece.
Who are you?
Caroline, it's me. Charles.
Awesome.
Yeah! Trance also opens up this weekend in limited release. The new film from director Danny Boyle, one of my favorites. James McAvoy, Rosario Dawson, Vincent Cassell. This looks awesome. It's about a group of criminals, heist artists, who steal a lost painting, a rare piece of expensive art. The problem is, James McAvoy, the only person who gets away with the goods, has a trauma and can't remember where he hid the lost painting. So the rest of the gang get together and they try to get him get a hypnotherapist to try to hypnotize him and get him to reveal the location of what they're looking for.
It's great.
Where is the painting?
I don't remember.
I know what you were going to do to me.
She put that memory there. It's not real.
The plan was simple. Just hypnotize the guy. You bring him back the painting.
Was I hypnotized?
He's afraid that once he's remembered, you'll kill him. Ah!
And then, of course, The Evil Dead opens up this weekend.
That's what I'm talking
Jane
about.
Jane Levy, Shiloh Fernandez. This is a remake, of course, of the classic Sam Raimi film Evil Dead. Same premise. Five friends head to a remote cabin where they discover the Book of the Dead, which leads them to unwittingly summon up demons living in the nearby woods. The evil presence possesses each of them until only one is left to fight for survival. Here's a scene where Jean Levy wakes up pointing a gun at her friends from The Evil Dead.
I gave her a sedative, so she should be out for a couple of hours.
Mia? Mia, put the gun down. Put the gun down, please.
You are all going to die tonight.
Ah! This is the first weekend in a long time where I would like to see each of these movies, I think.
Yeah, it has been a while.
Everything's got something going for it. So if you want something creepy and scary, Evil Dead looks terrifying.
You are all going to die tonight.
Trance looks like a great caper thriller with a twist. Six Souls, if you like psychological drama. And then The Company You Keep looks like a taut, well-written political thriller. So a lot of good stuff going on this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:36.
Got a lot of a show for you here today on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Matt Barnes from your Los Angeles Clippers on the program today. The great video remixer Mike Realm will be on the program today, and the guy, I guess, behind the bacon-flavored condom, which, again, I'm not sure is something that the ladies were hoping for. Maybe, Lisa, you have some thoughts on that. We'll talk to the man behind it coming up later on today. First, though, Kevin, it's the first week of the baseball season.
Woohoo!
Which is the most wonderful time of the year because every little kid, like me, can dream of a World Series. And we could not be excited, more excited to have C.J. Wilson on the phone from your Los Angeles Angels, who joins us. I believe you're in Texas right now, right, C.J.?
Yeah, I'm actually on the bus right now going to the stadium.
How weird is it for you to go back to Texas after all those years you played there? Does it still feel hinky, or did you get all that out of your system last season?
It's not weird at all. You know, they have great gun control laws here, and there's no state income tax, so I'm always happy to visit Texas.
How do the Rangers treat you when they see you now? Are they all friendly because they knew you from all those years, or do they treat you like the enemy when you come to town as a visiting club?
I feel that the players are okay. It's the fans that always, you know, happen to be the most biased against what kind of laundry you're wearing. But the players are all cool.
But the fans still pretty much religiously boo you?
They'll boo anybody that's not a Ranger.
Right.
You know, anybody that's a former Ranger, even if the guy was, like, traded and, you know, loved being there, they'll boo him, too. So it's just part of the gig.
This is why I love CJ, by the way. He has no filter. He is not at all afraid to say what he thinks, which is awesome. Now, you are a local boy. You went to where? Fountain Valley High, right?
Yeah, Fountain Valley and then Loyola Marymount.
So when you were growing up, was baseball a thing from when you were a little kid? And if so, was the Angels one of the teams that you dreamed about one day playing for?
Yeah, totally. I always wanted to play right field for either the Angels or the Dodgers. I felt like that'd be the best gig in the world, but I didn't quite have the foot speed and turned out to be left-handed, so here I am pitching, which is, you know, not a bad backup plan.
No, it doesn't seem like it. Seems like a lot of kids, you know, grow up wanting to be pitchers and don't make it.
Yeah, that's because they're literally coach makes them throw curveballs to strike out that kid from Westminster and end up blowing their elbow out. But I was lucky enough to avoid that one.
I was always curious what the schedule is like when you are a pitcher. Of course, you're only pitching, you know, every five games or so. But on a day like today, I mean, is it just completely stress-free that you know that you're just going to go and you're just going to sit for the afternoon and watch some baseball? Is it actually, like, fun for you, or is it kind of boring when you can't play?
You make it sound so relaxing. No, we do a lot of work. I mean, you have to get your body in shape to go out there and throw 120 pitches or whatever. It really puts a lot of stress on you. And if you're getting into that age where I'm at, then you've had a couple arm surgeries or whatever. You have to do a lot of, like, really kind of bitchy rehab stuff to keep your body in one piece. So that's the majority of my day. But I really want to win, you know. So when we're batting or when we're pitching, I'm really rooting for our team and, you know, trying to talk crap to the other team, you know, strategically to get in their head a little bit.
I like it. So you stay invested in the game even if you're not physically on the field. You're there with your teammates just doing everything you can to contribute to the positive vibe.
Yeah, always try to have the PMA, and every once in a while lace up the cleats and petition to be a pinch runner for comedy purposes.
How much smack talk is there in baseball?
A lot, actually. A lot more than you'd think. Some of it's, you know, I guess all in good fun, and some of it's really kind of mean, which is there's a guy, you know, the catcher for the Rangers has been involved in a couple of fights over the years with guys from other teams because of that smack talk, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
I would imagine the catcher position in baseball would have the most opportunity to talk smack.
Well, yeah. The funny thing is, as a pitcher, you don't really get a chance because if you say anything, the camera's on you right away.
Right,
right.
But if you're a first baseman or a catcher, you know, then you can kind of say stuff. Or if you're a batter, you can say stuff to the catcher or the umpire. You know, the guys complain to the umpire a lot, but if the pitcher does, then it looks like
right. You're
showing them up. So it looks unprofessional.
This is the voice of C.J. Wilson here on the Kevin Beach Show. He pitches for the Los Angeles Angels, who are this weekend in Texas playing against C.J.'s old team, the Rangers. And by the way, how awesome is it having your good friend Josh Hamilton on the team with you now, right?
Oh, it's fantastic. Josh and I are, you know, really good friends. And, you know, in baseball, you don't always get to choose your teammates, but it's great to have, you know, one of your friends rejoin you after a hiatus. And he's going to he's off to a little bit of a slow start, you know, after three games, but it's like we have 159 left, so nobody's really worried about that.
He's going to be fine, absolutely.
Does that sound like a daunting number of games, a daunting amount of time, or does it just seem like you're at the beginning of a great run?
Well, that's why, I don't know if you guys have Bull Durham, but you gotta stick to the cliches, you know, just taking one game at a time, and, you know, all that stuff. It really is a lot, but we're just used to it. Growing up in Southern California, as a kid, you play 100 games a year, so it's really not that big of a stretch to play 140 in the minors and 160 in the majors. It's fun. I mean, it's a great job.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, here's what I'm excited that we have you on, CJ, because you are involved in something that's so fascinating to us, and that is these crazy high-end race cars. I know that that is a twin passion of yours, along with baseball, is racing, and you've talked about how you want to be a race car driver when you get done with baseball. But please explain to us, because we have this conversation all the time on the show, how much better, seriously, is $1.5 million car from a car that costs $200,000? Is it really worth the extra, you know, five times as much to pay for a car like that?
I have no idea. I've never driven one of those cars yet. So, I mean, it's a future perspective thing, I guess. But, you know, if you invest well and you do all the right things with your money, then eventually you can do something completely selfish and frivolous, like buy a stupid car.
Hey, so, more power to you. I have no problem with somebody deciding to spend it. I'm just trying to understand how you justify it in your head that you get that much more car for that much more money, because it seems like at a certain point a car can only go so fast.
Well, legally, yeah. Legally, you can only go so fast. That's really the thing. I mean, I drove over in Europe a couple of years ago, went on the Autobahn, and went like 200 miles an hour, and it was pretty awesome. But it's really more the dynamic functionality of the car, like how well it can turn, how well it can brake, how stable it feels at speed. If you go, you know, 170 miles an hour in a straight line, it's kind of the same no matter what car you're in. It just depends on how fast you get there. But, you know, I've had some cool cars over the years, and it's really the only thing I spend money on. Most of my clothes are stuff I get for free. Like, all my shoes I get from New Balance for free, so I don't really spend any money on anything else. And a lot of guys, you know, have watch collections and gambling problems and stuff like that. That's a lot more entertaining, I guess, for everybody else. But I have a couple supercars at home, and you know, I saved up for them, and I really do like them. They are that much better.
Do you?
They hold their value a little bit. I mean, a lot better than if you just go buy a S-Class Mercedes off the lot for $100,000. It's going to be worth $30,000 in 4 or 5 years.
Right.
So if you do that with a supercar, it's still going to be worth pretty much what you paid for it.
Do you have something in your contract with the Angels that you can't race?
Yeah, I had it with the Rangers too, but when I was a relief pitcher, nobody cared.
So, wait, why did nobody care?
Because I was expendable. I was just a reliever. Ah, he's just a lefty reliever. Who cares?
Yeah, go kill yourself. What do we care?
Yeah. Woo, tax write off. No, I raced for years. I raced for, you know, for 4 or 5 years. And then, you know, the Angels, obviously, there's a lot more at stake now because I have a multi-year deal. So I don't want to put my teammates in that position or myself in that position
sure.
either.
Yeah, yeah, certainly.
To get released and lose all that money, because then how am I going to buy the supercar? You know?
That's right. You got to cash those paychecks. Put those paychecks in the bank for the car. I was just so shocked. I read your interview. I think it was on one of the auto blogs with Yahoo, where you talked about the hoops that you had to jump through in order to be able to buy one of these cars. Not that you didn't have the money, but that it's almost like it's such an exclusive club for some of these cars that you really have to prove yourself. You almost have to beg them to let you buy one.
Well, it's not so much like that with McLaren or Porsche, but with Ferrari it is for sure. Like, Ferrari won't sell you a new car at sticker price. You go in there and you're like, oh, I really want to buy that red one. And they're like, oh, that's cool. Well, buy this blue Maserati first, and then, you know, then maybe we'll let you buy a used Ferrari. And you're like, wait,
what?
I don't want to buy. Yeah, I mean, Newport Beach Ferrari was very nice to me when I went in there, but all the other Ferrari dealerships that I've ever dealt with have been complete a-holes. So I'll never buy another one. It's just a mess. McLaren just wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to sell the car, you know, that I wasn't going to buy it and then flip it because, you know, maybe some sultan from somewhere was going to pay me double and I'd make money. It cheapens the car in a way.
Never heard of that. I've never heard of, we won't take your money because you're not qualified.
No, it's funny. What they will do is they will sell you a car for $30,000 or $50,000 over sticker, which is stupid because cars go down in value. So if you pay $250 for a car that's worth $200,
right,
it's eventually going to be worth $100, then you're really kind of,
you're throwing it away, right?
Yeah, you're stuffing yourself, so that's really no good.
Well, I would just like to say in closing here, CJ, that in solidarity with you, our new friend, I'm not going to buy a Ferrari either. How about that? How you like me now? I'm on your team now.
Well, I have a Mazda dealership, so if you need anything Mazda-wise, then let me know.
All right. We'll make a note of it.
Make it buy a VW first.
CJ Wilson pitching for the Los Angeles Angels. Please watch them at Texas all this weekend, including a game starting today at 11:05 our time. Great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show, man. We really enjoyed it. I hope we get to do it again, and have a great season, okay?
Let's do it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. And then after the top of the hour, Ralph, you have a study you're going to tell us about that seems to suggest that the more sexist you are, the more likely you enjoy large breasts on a woman, right?
Yes, that was just insane because everybody loves large breasts on a woman.
Well, and not everybody is sexist.
That doesn't mean we're sexist. We just like large boobs on a woman.
Well, this is an actual research study from the University of Westminster we will talk about coming up right after the top of the hour. Seems like fascinating stuff. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
What good's a woman for if she doesn't have big boobs? You know what I'm saying? Call me
and
sexist.
You're not sexist at all.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
just facts. That's all. Hey, I want to give you a heads up. Tonight at 8 p.m., my buddy Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show up at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal City Walk, 8 p.m. tonight. If you'd like to come, we'd love to have you join us.
We're all going to die tonight.
And we're all going to die tonight. I also mentioned that. You can go to CSMOD, CSMOD.com for more details and for tickets. And then on Monday, I'm doing a very cool event at noon. It is a sneak peek at some footage that hasn't been seen yet from the new movie Elysium that's coming out. Science fiction film starring Matt Damon, directed by Neil Blomkamp, who gave us District 9. Remember that
film? Oh, right.
This is his sophomore effort. And we're doing a special event in Hollywood where I will be talking to Asharto Copley, one of the stars of the film, who also starred in District 9. And Neil himself, the director, will be there doing a Q&A. And Matt Damon will also be joining.
No kidding. How much footage, Ralph?
We'll probably do about 10-15 minutes of various scenes from the film. It's kind of a sneak peek.
It's at that very convenient Monday at noon time?
Well, that's, we want to make it, you know, hard. We want to make it hard for people to see, because people who really want to go to this have to, you know, seek it out.
All right.
So we're going to be doing this on Monday, and if you would like to go, just shoot me an email at ralph@krock.com, and I'll give you the link, because unfortunately the link they have set up is about 97 characters long, and it's not very convenient. So if you'd like to go, shoot me an email, and I'll send you the link for that if you want to sign up for tickets for that. While we're talking about movies, legendary film critic Roger Ebert has passed away. He was one of the biggest critics in the world. I mean, Pulitzer Prize winning, and of course, was on television for 30 years or so, doing various incarnations of his film review show with his partner Gene Siskel for many years, and then with Roger Roper.
Did he invent the thumbs up thing?
Those guys came up with.
They came up with
thumbs up and thumbs down. Yeah,
and trademarked it.
Yeah. Huh. Now we owe them a nickel. Nice work, Kevin. Great. Good. Great. Now it's coming out of my pocket. Yeah, he passed away after a long battle with cancer at the age of 70. He brought about the age of movie critic as celebrity. We really didn't know who the movie critics were before those guys started on television. It was on PBS for many years, and then it was syndicated. It really was syndicated. Unlike Mr. Wizard, it actually was syndicated.
That's what we hear.
So, sad news for movie fans, and also sad news for comic book fans. George Gladier has passed away.
Oh, no.
Oh, why are we even working today?
Come on.
We should all National Day of Mourning.
Take a rest.
George
Gladier. And we would know him from, most famous work would be...
He just created a little girl named Sabrina the Teenage Witch, that's all.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you're right, it was. He created her for Archie Comics back in 1962. He passed away at the age of 88.
Did Sabrina used to be part of the Archie universe, Ralph?
Yeah.
Did she jump off of that?
That's where she came from. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, she was pals with Archie and Jughead and Veronica and all those kids.
Huh.
She was a witch who would hang around Riverdale High. You know how it is.
Were you a fan of the comic book or the cartoon?
No
one was. Charlie Sheen, what's going on with this guy? It's like he's seen the three ghosts from Scrooge.
Why is he now?
He's Mr. Philanthropist. He's just helping everybody every chance he gets. An employee from the staff of Anger Management, his sitcom over there on FX, died in a car accident recently.
Oh.
And so Charlie stepped up and did everything he could to help the family. Apparently, he paid for all the funeral expenses and then set up a college scholarship for her child.
Wow.
So that when it came time for her to turn college age, she'd have money to go to school with. So,
boom.
He's winning. He's actually winning.
Now that he's no longer telling us that.
Yeah. Oh, tragic news. Looks like Burnell Taylor.
Oh, Burnell.
Got voted off of American Idol.
Oh.
Yeah. Has American Idol ever been further off your radar than it has been this season?
No.
I've never watched it, but
I barely know it's on television.
I have enjoyed the lack of conversation about it here.
No one really is talking about it.
But Kevin never watches it, but this season he's watching it even less than he's never watched it
it's
before.
It's never been easier to not watch than it is right now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And more TV news. All the hubbub about Jay Leno turning over The Tonight Show to Jimmy Fallon has actually helped Jay Leno.
Sure.
Overnight Nielsen ratings for the show was the best in 5 months this past Wednesday after it was announced that he was going to be replaced by Jimmy Fallon. I guess people are trying to watch all the Leno they can, trying to store it up before he goes away.
Well, let's remember he's already number one, too.
He's 1-2? He's 12?
No, he's his show
number
is
one
still
and two?
The most popular in late night. He's being asked to leave when he's number one in his time slot.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is still weird.
It is weird. I think he resents it.
I can't for a second watch him when Kimmel's on. Not for a second.
No.
I mean,
it's Jimmy, and then Dave, and then Leno.
And then whoever.
And then whoever they got. Is George Lopez giving a kidney someplace on some channel? And this is nice. This is good. This is good stuff. Rosario Dawson talking about nudity in films.
Okay.
She said that she does get nude a little bit in her movie Trance. It comes out this weekend. But she said it's interesting. Nude scenes are tough to film, she says, but even harder to negotiate. She and her lawyers had to sit down with producers and hammer out exactly what parts of her body would be displayed and for how long throughout the film.
I sort of have a boner.
It takes kind of the sexiness out of it, doesn't it?
I'd like to be in that negotiation.
I would, too. I'm sorry. We have to stand hard on the left nipple.
Sorry, we're gonna have to draw a line in the sand here. We're just not moving off.
And
the
when
nipple.
We say stand hard, we
that's
mean
that's right.
It.
Yes.
Now, Ralph, if I find Rosario Dawson attractive, which I do, does that make me sexist?
No, because she has smallish boobs.
Okay.
Yeah. And Amanda Seyfried, since we're talking about sex and nudity in films, she is starring in the new movie about Deep Throat actress Linda Lovelace.
Okay.
And she tells the New York Post that we need more nudity on the big screen.
Yeah!
And she thinks sex in movies shouldn't be a big deal.
That's so hot.
I agree, Amanda. So just put them on the glass. Miley Cyrus is featured on Snoop Lion's new single.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate piece of work.
That happened. That's going on. The track is called Ashtrays and Heartbreaks, and it's all about weed, surprisingly.
What?
Coming from the creative mind of Snoop Lion, previously known as Snoop Dogg.
I will never be able to call him Snoop
Lion. He's Snoop Lion.
I know, but it won't happen.
Miley's line in the song, "Now my buzz is gone, I need to re-up on reality." Yeah, deep, man.
What is that? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Scoobity Bebop. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mitch Pileggi. You remember him probably best from X-Files, but he's working all the time. Currently on the new Dallas.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. 61 years old. Christopher Reed, kid of Kid and Play, is 49 years old. Mike McCready of Pearl Jam is 47. And singer-songwriter Paula Cole celebrates her 45th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, when do you have to pay Dave the King of Mexico with your Clippers-Lakers credits bet?
Maybe Monday. We'll see.
It's when
it's gonna happen.
You could have paid
Clippers
him any time in the past 6 months.
It's gonna happen. But I'm way, 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 way ahead on those.
Oh
guys,
yeah,
so.
Of course you are. Yeah, yeah. Well, the reason I ask is because we are talking to Matt Barnes from the Los Angeles Clippers coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin Beach. I just want to make sure that there wasn't going to be any ugliness with the man on the phone.
No.
I want to make sure you guys all have all your business taken care of here in the office.
I'm going to ask him to throw it, but I think that's cool.
They've already achieved the largest number of wins ever in a season for the Clippers.
Wow.
Yeah, already.
Yeah. That's impressive. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. Thanks so much for tuning in. Keep listening for your Depeche Mode tickets and April Foolishness tickets up close coming up later on. But, Ralph, I'm glad you're here because you brought up what sounded like a fascinating study in the office the other day, but I want to hear more about it. What you got?
Yeah, it was a study from the University of Westminster. And they published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior, a journal in February, that they claim the more sexist a man is, the more likely he is to be into big boobs. That male attitudes towards women may predict breast size preference. If you find a guy as being even what they call benevolently sexist, meaning that he thinks women are, meek and weak and the weaker sex and have more idealized traditional views of femininity, that the more likely that person is to be sexually attracted to large breasts versus what they think is a more progressive man would be more attracted to medium to small size breasts.
Hmm.
Which is this study is so dumb, it must have been done by a woman. It's the only thing I can imagine.
And we're off. And set.
They interviewed 361 white heterosexual men ranging at ages from 18 to 68. And I'm curious, Ralph, how do you measure how sexist a man is? Does it say?
Well, what they would do is interview them about their views of women and women's role in society. They would get that as a baseline. And then they would show these same men 3D models of women. So as not to influence them with hair color or ethnicity or anything else. These are just generic forms of a woman, a 3D form of a woman. And then they would ask them to rank in order of attractiveness which model they were most attracted to. 5 different breast sizes, and then they would record which woman he found most physically attractive. And then they would compare the two sets of data, and then they would come up with this correlation between sexism and breast size.
I should have done that study in college. That sounds like some fun studying.
Dumb because everyone loves big boobs. So this is a dumb study.
Well, not everyone loves big boobs. I mean, it depends.
Everyone loves big boobs.
It depends on the frame of the woman.
Right. Heterosexual men love big boobs.
That's what I'm saying. I'll give you a perfect example. Natalie Portman.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Right.
Just like she
is. She's a 9.5, and she'd be a 10 if she had bigger boobs. Everyone knows that.
How did the percentages fall in terms of breast size preference, Ralph?
All right. The largest percentage of participants said that medium-sized breasts were most attractive. That came in at 32.7%.
Medium,
The majority of men said medium-sized breasts are the best. Next was 24.4% of the men, so a quarter practically of the men, said large breasts are most attractive.
Okay.
Very large breasts, 20%, 19.1% of the men said very large breasts are most attractive. Small breasts, 15.5% of men said small breasts are the most attractive. And very small, 8.3% of the men lied and said very small breasts are most sexually attractive.
It's a weird study because, everybody likes to look at big boobs. Everybody.
Yes, yes, sure. Lisa,
right?
Yes.
So if that's the actual question, then it's a dumb study because everybody likes that. I don't know how looking at a model is going to play out in your actual life. Does that mean that these men reject women with medium-sized breasts if they like them because their boobs aren't big enough? I doubt it.
No, they'll throw a favor to a girl with small breasts. They'll do her a favor and, you know, help her out.
I think the whole thing is ridiculous.
But the sexual ideal for these men who were asked participated in this study said that that's how it broke down, is that the ones who said that very large and large breasts were the most sexually attractive, those men had a certain level of sexism versus the men who said very small breasts or small breasts were most sexually attractive. Apparently, they say there's some sort of correlation between how a man looks at a large-breasted woman and lusts after her in comparison to how he objectifies women, perhaps.
What's interesting, Ralph, about the numbers that you gave is if you add up the percentage that preferred large and very large, put those together, by my math, it's at 45%. So that's already almost half are saying large breasts,
right.
Basically.
Exactly. Then medium-sized breasts, add another 32.7%. That's practically everybody.
Right.
And then you got
that's everyone who counts.
With 15.5%. And then, of course, you have the gay men at 8.3% who said very small breasts are sexually attractive.
Uncool, not necessarily gay. There are blind people in the study,
that's
too.
That's true. I forgot. Yeah.
All right. So what are we looking for on the phone, sir? Because we did carve out some time to get some reaction to this. Are we looking for the roughly 23% of men who prefer small breasts? Is that what we're looking for?
Yes. Because I would like to, first of all, yell at them.
Okay.
But secondly,
for being wrong.
I can't wrap my head around that preference. I can't comprehend.
But I gave you a good example.
But I gave you a better example,
which is Natalie Portman.
If she had larger breasts, she'd be even hotter.
I don't think so. I think
so.
That's
so
not just wrong. You're
she's
wrong.
A small person.
Yes.
In a small package.
Yes.
And she's sexy.
But if
like
she had larger breasts that were attached to her small package, then she'd be even more attractive. That's just a given.
I think it's relative.
She shouldn't have I'm not saying she has to have massive breasts. Of course, that would look ridiculous on her frame. But if she had large, full breasts appropriately sized to her body, she would be even more attractive.
How can she? She's like 5 feet tall and 100 pounds. There
well,
is
whatever
no
she's
large.
Got, give her a little more. What's wrong with you? How is that so hard to understand?
I'm just saying the woman makes the boobs sexy. The boobs aren't sexy by themselves.
That's
and
wrong,
Natalie
too.
I'd like to point out, Kevin, that you're arguing with Ralph, who has science on his side. He brought in the study, remember?
Let's just take personality out of it, Kevin, and line up five women against the wall. Why? You're going to get to know everybody in a room?
No, but I'm saying
five
a woman.
Naked women against the wall. Look at the boobs. What do you find attractive? That's what we're talking about.
It depends on the size of the
Natalie
frame.
Natalie Portman to have dinner with her would be very attractive.
Yeah, we're not talking about dating. We're talking about physical attraction.
And I'm talking about the size of a woman's body.
All right, I got two
some
words
frames.
For you. Scarlett Johansson.
They look good on her.
That's what I'm saying.
Because her frame supports that.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
I don't think she's that much larger than Natalie Portman is.
I think she is. She's quite a bit taller.
And she's not 6 feet tall.
No, she's not. All right, we'll take some calls so you can yell at other people besides just me. 1-800-520-1067 is... Stop yelling at me.
Stop being dumb.
I can't. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Talking to a Cocker Spaniel.
It's Kevin, a dumb study.
You can't fight science.
It's science, it's Lisa. Not, science is not dumb.
It is.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. If you're just joining us, you have missed Kevin being yelled at quite a bit because Ralph brought in a study that says, well, recap it for us in a sentence or two. Would you, Ralph?
The University of Westminster did a study with men, divorcing personality and body types beyond just breast size. No hair color, no ethnicity, no other reason you could decide whether you find a woman attractive or not. Based purely on breast size, they asked them what they found most sexually attractive. And it broke down that the largest percentage of men said medium-sized breasts were most attractive. 24.4% said large, 19.1% said very large. Small went to 15.5%, and then the wrong people said 8.3% very small breasts were the most sexually attractive.
Now, what about small? Are they lying too? Or just extra small?
Small are just damaged.
Okay.
People said small damaged. The very small people, they're lying. And they said there was a correlation between men who found very large to large breasts sexually attractive, that there was a correlation between how they objectified women, and they had a certain amount of sexism in that group.
All right, we're going to take some phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to line one and Doug up first. Renee writes in, there was a study done a while back that also showed that the length of hair a man prefers in a woman has a direct correlation to how sexist he is. The longer the hair he preferred, the more sexist he was, which makes sense from an evolutionary standpoint. Cavemen would drag women around by the hair. Everyone knows boobs are awesome, even gay men like Jessica Simpson's dad. Hobo Sal, fire beer mug.
Yes.
All of the above is true.
Listen, it's like one of those judges. If you see a woman who has a really short haircut and she looks beautiful, that's like the ultimate prize, because you know if you put good long hair on her, she'd be even hotter. But the fact that she can be hot with short hair is a remarkable achievement. That's what it is with small boobs. If a woman can look great with small boobs, it's a remarkable achievement, because if you put big boobs on her, she'd be even that much hotter.
It's science.
Let's see what Doug has to say. I think he wants to dispute science, which is can't go well. But Doug, welcome to the Kevin Meacher. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Kevin B and Lisa May. How you
doing? Good
morning.
Good, thanks.
Hey, so I'm a small boob guy, and I got two reasons for that.
Okay.
I think that big boobs, they don't age well. That's number one.
That's true.
Well, don't date old women.
I don't think
that's the answer to that problem.
I don't think the study is taking into account a lifetime. They're just taking into account at this second when I look at it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, regardless, number two is because with every big boob comes a big nipple.
That's just not true.
That's very true.
Except that it's not.
It's science.
All right, Doug, sorry.
Nipple sizes vary on all size boobs. I've seen very small boobs with massive flapjack nipples. Nothing's more hideous. So, Doug, why don't you hang up and go be wrong somewhere else?
Jesus. All right, let's go to Trent. He's on line three. I think he also would like to lodge a complaint against the larger breasts.
Yes, Trent.
Morning, Kevin. Morning, Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
So my thing is larger breasts are nice, but the problem with them is that they usually sag a bit more, and I don't find sag at all attractive.
You don't find natural attractive?
No, not at all.
All right.
But you're gay, right?
No.
I got that going for you.
I'm just joking.
It's science.
All right. I like small boobs, could look better on the runway. All right, Trent, take a walk. Why are you fighting with science?
Let's go to line two. This is going to be Jesse.
There's no time for it.
Well, because it's science.
It's science.
It is like they're arguing that the sun revolves around the earth, isn't it? I mean, there's no defense.
I like a flat planet because you can walk off the edge of it, and then you can get in a hot air balloon and go around the edges of the planet because the world is flat. That's what they're saying on the phone, basically.
Hi, Jesse.
Hello?
Help.
Hello?
Yeah, you're okay. Yes, we're waiting for you to talk.
Go ahead, brain surgeon. You tell us what your point of view is. Can't operate a phone, but he's going to tell me about boobs.
No, I don't like hanging big breasts. I like smaller breasts proportional to a girl's size, and I like smaller girls.
Smaller girls, smaller boobs. He's a fan of. He's calling him a liar.
No, I'm saying you can have a small girl with large breasts for her frame, and that looks dynamite. That's what I'm
saying.
Wait,
is dynamite science?
Dynamite is science.
It's science.
Yes, it is science.
Okay. All right, so we're just going to say Jesse is wrong and leave it there.
Yes. Well, listen to him. Hello? Hello? What end of this do I talk into? Hello?
Any words for Chris, who writes the Kevin Amin Twitter account? Kevin Amin are once again opining about how all real men prefer women with large breasts, and once again, I am waiting to punch my radio. What do you have for Chris, Ralph?
Punch away, son.
I don't know
what he wants from us. Yeah. Hope you break your radio in your hand.
Kevin, you're going to play nice here? You're going to be nice and let Dave talk to his man?
Well, I'm not going to let Dave talk, but yeah, I'll be nice.
As you know, Kevin is a lifelong Los Angeles Lakers fan. Dave, the King of Mexico, the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, is a lifelong Los Angeles Clippers fan. So we have a lot of discussions on and off the air about these teams. And, of course, they're playing again this Sunday. We could not be more excited to welcome to the program Matt Barnes from the Los Angeles Clippers. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Thanks for having me. How you guys doing?
We are good.
Yeah. Don't feel like you have to talk to Kevin. He's the enemy today, man.
Look, here's the thing. There may be some credits writing on the season. And, you know, when the Clips play the Lakers on Sunday, you know, you could help a brother out by throwing the game. Is that possible?
No.
No?
That's not in the cards this time. Sorry about that.
That's right. Sweet, baby.
Damn it.
Well, it is worth mentioning that, if I'm not mistaken, Matt, is this the first time ever that the Clippers could sweep the Lakers in their in-season meetings this year?
I'm not sure of the history, but, you know, I definitely don't recall it, even, you know, as a fan or as a player, you know, seeing the Clippers do this thus far. So, you know, it's going to be an exciting game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be great. What's it like for you? I mean, you kind of have a special circumstance as somebody who played for the Lakers before you came to the Clippers. Is it even weirder for you when you're going up against them?
You know, it's not weird. It's just, you know, it's always exciting. You know, anytime you play in the Lakers, you know, it's a big game. It's exciting no matter, you know, what their positioning is. You know, they've kind of had an up-and-down season with people in and out and new coaches. You know, but at the same time, they're still a very dangerous team. So it's going to be a lot of fun Sunday.
Do you take credit for when you played for the Lakers, they were good, and now you play for the Clippers, and they're good?
No, because we weren't good enough when I played for the Lakers. You know, playing for the Lakers, it's championship or bust, and you know, we didn't get a chance to do that, so obviously we weren't good enough.
You know, the Clippers have had a remarkable season, and it's been so much fun. I mean, this has been the first season in a long time that even non-basketball fans have, you know, their ears have perked up, and they said, wow, what's going on with these guys? You know, these are superstars now. But you have been very outspoken calling out your own teammates when you don't play as well as you think. I mean, that's interesting. Not a lot of people will do that publicly to say, hey, we have to be better, but you're not afraid to. How come?
No, just because we know the talent we have on this team, you know, and the potential we have. You know, even though this is a new team, you know, we're very strong from top to bottom. And, you know, we came into this season talking about we have a chance to win a championship. And early on we played like it, and of late we've been very inconsistent. So we know it's time to, you know, start playing better, and, you know, hopefully we can start doing that.
Is there a little bit of a psychological challenge as far as knowing how long the season is, knowing when the playoffs start? You've already secured a place in the playoffs, so is there a chance of a little bit of a letdown? Is that something you have to fight?
You know, I could see if we had won some championships already, and, you know, we're like, oh, you know, let's just get the stars again. But, you know, this is a new, you know, uncharted territory for this team and for this franchise and this team even, you know, with all the new guys, so... You know, from my point of view, there shouldn't be that. There may be a little bit of it, but at the same time, we're trying to still position ourselves for the best seed we possibly can. So, right. You know, we just need to lock in and get ready for this run.
Dave, the King of Mexico, you're talking to a real-life Clipper. What do you got?
That's awesome. Hey, Matt, you're on one of the best benches in the NBA. Do you ever give the starters some grief for, like, you know, because you're keeping the team running right now. You guys are literally carrying them on your backs. Do you ever give them like a little motivation, like, dude, we're coming for you. You know, we're coming for your positions.
You know, I think that's what's good about our team is, you know, we do that to each other. You know, we're a very outspoken team, you know, when it comes to, you know, letting people know what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, when we're not playing well, you know, they'll be the first to tell us and vice versa. You know, of late, you know, the starters have got off to, you know, a little slower starts than we've picked it up. You know, we've said something to them that, you know, we need to be consistent, you know, starters and bench players. So, you know, in order for us to be a productive team and consistent team, you know, both sides need to be playing well.
This is the voice of Matt Barnes here on the Kevin Bean Show from the Los Angeles Clippers. We're talking to him about, among other things, the game against the Lakers at Staples Center, which is this Sunday. What's it been like for the Clippers around the country on the road? Have you started to see a bunch of people coming out for you now?
It's been different, you know, because I started my career here 11 years ago, and it was a lot different. You know, we didn't have a practice facility. We had about, you know, 3,500 fans in the stands. Not just kidding. You know, we had a little bit more than that.
Right.
Some loyal fans. But on the road.
You guys were playing in street clothes back then, if I remember.
Yeah, you know, we had to bring our shoes from home. But, you know, there is a draw on the road, definitely. You know, we have a very talented and star-studded team, you know, along with Blake and Chris. You know, those people bring a lot of fans. You know, DeAndre, we have a lot of, we just have an high-flying, exciting team, and anytime you put something like this together, you know, you're going to have fans that we never knew we had. And, you know, whether they're new fans or old fans, we definitely appreciate the support. And, you know, we always want to put a good show on out when they come out to watch.
I got to say, you guys seem to be having more fun than any team in the NBA.
Yeah, no, we have a blast. And we have such a close team that, you know, we get along on and off the court. And I think that translates to, you know, our chemistry so fast, you know, considering half this team is new. And, you know, for us to, you know, be breaking franchise records left and right, you know, it says something to, you know, everybody's character and, you know, how we all accepted each other and, you know, we all have the same goal on this team.
Matt, I have an unusual question for you. I know that you're friendly with, you know, like Steve Nash and guys like that. Do you have any thoughts as to what's gone wrong for the Lakers this season with the superstar talent pool that they have over there? Why do you suppose they haven't been better than they are?
You know, I just kind of think the up and down situation with the coaches. You know, to start with Mike Brown and then, you know, go to someone else and then finally go to Mike D'Antoni when everyone else wanted Phil Jackson. You know, I just think they've been on the emotional roller coaster as players, and then you need some kind of stability from the head coach position. And then not to mention they've had so many people in and out. You know, a team at the on paper, they have a great team, but, you know, they really haven't been together that long. And when you put that many superstars together, it's going to take time. You know, we were lucky that we put a lot of good players together, you know, not quote-unquote Hall of Famers. You know, we just put a lot of talent together. But they put, you know, superstar Hall of Fame players together. And, you know, it takes time to get that going.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Things are so different on paper than they are in real life. And chemistry is that great intangible that you can't fake. I mean, it just has to be there or it has to develop. And you're absolutely right that the Clippers, I mean, even with the big names that you have and that you've mentioned, have been, it seems like, playing together as a unit since game one.
Yeah, you know, we picked up on each other fast. You know, we had about a week and a half in China, so we were forced to look at each other every single day. You know, whether people liked it or didn't like it, you know, we really got a chance to bond and really get to know each other and, you know, really kind of, you know, set the foundation then. And, you know, for whatever reason, it's been a slow process for the Lakers, but, you know, like, I have, you know, faith in them. If they get in the playoffs, they're going to be a handful, so you know, right. Can never count them out.
Well, I know we're out of time. I know we have to go, but I want to make sure we get in a plug for your foundation because it sounds like you're doing some great work. Athletes versus Cancer is what you call it. Tell us about it real quick.
You know, it's a foundation I started when I lost my mom in 2000. I lost my mom in 2007 and 26 days to four different stages of cancer. So in 2008, my wife and I started Athletes versus Cancer. You can find the information at athletesversuscancer.org. We go into inner city and provide free cancer screening, pamphlets, just notes about cancer, and really just saying knowledge is power. You know, this cancer is something that doesn't discriminate, and, you know, it affects newborns to, you know, grandparents, so we want to try to help in any way we possibly can.
That's great. Matt Barnes, Los Angeles Clippers, playing the Lakers this weekend. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, @Matt_Barnes22, and, of course, Clippers.com. Great to have you on the show, man. Have a great rest of the season, and thank you for the time.
Thank you.
If you're looking for someone to blame as to why America is fat, our next guest may be the guy. He's the guy we're going to be talking to about the bacon condoms that his company's making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bacon condoms.
But he also makes bacon lip balm and bacon soda and bacon envelopes and bacon sunscreen and just a lot of bacon. Put bacon on everything. That's his motto. So we'll talk to him coming up here on the Kevin Devine Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday.
If America would just stop using those bacon condoms, they'd lose hundreds of pounds. Beer mug? Same. Stop using those bacon condoms.
Beer mug has certainly blown up since those condoms were introduced to the market, hasn't he?
I want to give you a heads up. We were talking about this event I'm doing on Monday, the Elysium sneak peek. We're going to look at some footage from Elysium, the new film from Neil Blomkamp, who brought us District 9. It stars Matt Damon and Charteau Copley, his good friend, who was in District 9 as well. And I was talking about it on, I'm doing it on Monday at noon. It turns out you can go to the front page of krock.com, and at the top of that page, you will see a link for the Elysium sneak peek. So you can click on that, and that's how you can get your tickets.
How about
If you want to go Monday at noon. So it's much easier than me responding to each of you individually, which was not a good plan, but it was the only way I could think to do it. But luckily, the folks at krock.com have taken care of it. So go there if you want to see a little sneak peek of Elysium. Meanwhile, in the showbiz news, you're going to find this shocking, since we're talking about science fiction and stuff, but Tom Cruise believes in aliens.
What?
I know. Who could see that coming?
What?
Just because the core belief of his religion is that 75 million years ago, Xenu, the dictator of the Galactic Confederacy, sent billions of frozen souls on spaceships from his overpopulated planet to the bases of volcanoes on Earth.
Well,
I guess you kind of have to believe in
aliens. You sort of have to, yeah.
If that's the case, right?
I know that it's about you. You go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check. And if you don't, they'll kill you.
It might be a little arrogant to think we're the only ones in all the galaxies throughout the universe, Tom says. But I've never met one. Wink, wink, he said. He also said he's planning on going into space.
Okay.
He is one of the celebrities who have shelled out $200,000 apiece for a seat on Virgin Galactic's upcoming two-hour mission into space, scheduled for December of this year.
Nice.
He'll be on a flight along with Ashton Kutcher, Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, Katy Perry, and Tom Hanks.
Wow.
I hope that plane doesn't go down.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll lose all of entertainment.
Let me ask you guys this. If money were no object, like if you had Tom Cruise dollars, is that something that you guys would be interested in doing?
Hell yeah.
I think so.
I know I would. I'd love it.
Are they just going up high enough to be, quote, in space?
You just go into orbit. You're not going to another planet or anything.
But you do look down at the Earth, though, Kevin. You're high enough that you look down at the Earth. So.
If you look on the left side of the plane, there's Earth.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
On the right side, moon. All right, we're going back down. Just 2 hours. Just 2 hours flying around in space.
All right. But it's also 2 hours with Angelina Jolie and Katy Perry, so that's got to be worth something.
Yeah. Yeah, because Brad Pitt's in the seat next to her, but everyone's looking at you, Bean. You're right. You're right. You're attracting the attention of Katy Perry.
You don't
Perry
know, man. He might get space sickness and pass out.
Sure. There's that.
Is there? Is there that?
No.
I didn't think so. Hey, Amanda Bynes, speaking of spacey, she's on a roll.
Bitches are crazy.
First of all, she's been walking around New York in a red wig and then claiming that someone is impersonating her.
Did she say that wasn't me?
Yeah.
That was somebody else?
Yeah. She said, I'm a blonde. I don't even own those clothes that girl was wearing. You know how she's got the identical cheek piercings and everything else? So, no, that's someone's impersonating me. Stop impersonating me, person who was impersonating me.
I love it.
The whole thing may be an elaborate ruse, however. Maybe an elaborate alibi, because apparently she was in a place in Manhattan called Blow.
Yes.
Which is a high-end blow-dry bar. Oh, we talked about these earlier. It's a place you go to get your hair blown out if you're a lady.
Right.
Imagine my disgust, by the way. When I was in Manhattan the other day and I went in there. I thought
I'm ready.
Thinking it was a store. I'm finding out it's just a blow-dry place. She came in for a hair appointment. She spent the whole first 15 minutes in the restroom. Then when they got her out, it was time to wash her hair. She refused to take off her sunglasses. So they had to wash her hair while she was wearing her sunglasses.
Right.
And she had her bad hair extensions in. And she wouldn't take those out. So they had to wash her hair with bad hair extensions and sunglasses on. Then she goes to check out. She's buying a can of hairspray. She wants to check out for the services. They ran her credit card twice, and it was declined twice. So she grabbed the can of hairspray and bolted out the door.
Oh, my God.
She went on the lam.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
She dined and dashed.
Wow. Ruff, isn't Amanda Bynes the one who refused to come out of a dressing room last year? Remember,
like
she tried on
hours.
A whole bunch of clothes and then wouldn't come out? Same
like
thing.
Like 3 hours. Yeah.
Wow.
So she's in good shape.
This is not going to end well.
No. You kidding me? This is very entertaining. Today's celebrity birthdays. Paula Cole is 45 years old. Today, Mike McCready of Pearl Jam is 47. Christopher Reed, he was Kid of Kid and Play. Is 49, and actor Mitch Pileggi. You can see him on Dallas on TNT, but of course, we probably remember him best as Skinner from The X-Files. He's 61 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We will talk about the future of late-night television on the networks with our friend Michael Schneider from TV Guide coming up in about a half an hour from right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. In about 5 minutes or so, we'll tell you how you can join us tomorrow night at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. First, though, what about bacon condoms, you guys?
Bacon condoms.
Is that what the world has been waiting for, is bacon condoms? Those are things that exist. Those are two things that in a million years most people would never put together in one product. But most people aren't. Justin Esch, who joins us on The Kevin and Bean Show right now from J&D Foods from Seattle, Washington. Hi, Justin. Welcome to The Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. I know that you've had lots of bacon products throughout the years, and you have been a master at getting people to talk about your company for free. So congratulations. It worked, first of all. And second of all, you must just sit around all day long thinking, what else can we put bacon in by the time you get down to condoms, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a huge function of just what I do all day long, is just innovate products and think about stupid, silly, funny things. I mean, imagine just working with your best friend and going to work every day, spending an hour being like, what's the most ridiculous thing we can do today?
How long ago did you come up with the bacon coffins?
The coffin we launched last year.
Last year.
And the coffin we actually came up with 2 years ago. It actually came up right after we did the bacon sex lube. And
I'm sorry, the bacon sex lube.
Yeah, bacon lube.
That okay,
was the hit.
Bacon lube. All right, good.
It was actually 3 years ago. We did bacon baby formula as a joke. It wasn't a real product, and we figured we'd covered life, we'd covered sex, so we might as well cover death. And we had they came up with the tagline first, which was, you know, for people who love bacon to death. And
it just had to happen. Did you move any of those?
Yeah, we did. We originally made like 10 of them. There's one more left. It's sitting in my office behind my desk on this pedestal. So if anyone wants to, at first it was just super creepy. It's like you're at work and there's just a coffin, like a full size casket behind you.
But it looks like bacon.
Yeah, it's just ominously weird, and it freaked everybody out that came to my office. Now I really kind of like it. I've taken naps in it.
Now, the question that I have about some of your products, and we're going to get to the condoms here in a minute, Justin, like bacon sex lube is a perfect example of something that to me sounds like a novelty gift that you'd buy for somebody to give at a bachelor party or whatever, but it's not something that would ever be used. It's just a gag gift. Is that what you're finding, or are there people who don't mind the scent of bacon in their lovemaking?
You know, I think there are some people that actually do use it in a practical, real, sexual sense, and I think that those people are ridiculously terrifying. I don't want to know them.
You'll sell them the product, but you don't want to know them.
Oh, America. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a capitalist. But no, our business is not coffins and sex lube and condoms. That's fun, and that's an extension of who Dave and I are as people. I mean, I'm 34 years old. I like to get weird. I like to have fun, and I love money.
Right.
But, you know, the business itself is selling, you know, mayonnaise, microwave popcorn, croutons, seasonings, you know, these core consumer products to the biggest retailers in the world. I mean, our largest clients are, you know, Ralph's in L.A., Walmart, Safeway,
wow.
Target.
Legit,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's where we make our money.
And it all started with bacon salt, which some people thought was a joke when it began, but that turned out to be enormously popular, right?
Yeah, it's been huge. It's been really cool. We started the company in 2007 out of Dave's garage, and bacon salt was the first product we made. I mean, and now Denny's puts it on their tables as a seasoning option.
That's crazy.
It's been really cool.
Tell people how you got started in the business with the money.
Oh, well, what we funded the business was Dave's kid hit him in the face with a baseball. And we submitted the video, or his wife did, to America's Funniest Home Videos, and he actually won $5,000. And so we just stole the money straight from his kid and parlayed it into bacon-flavored interests.
And that's how the business got started.
That's amazing.
Winning on America's Funniest Home Videos.
America is a great country. Now, did you have a Shark Tank moment? You know that TV show on Friday nights, that Shark Tank show where people come in, inventors come in, and they pitch their ideas. Is that what you had to do? Did you have to go to somebody to make bacon salt, or did you and Dave work on it in a lab in the garage and create it yourself?
A bit of both. We got pressured hard to be on Shark Tank twice.
Oh, really?
The first two seasons, yeah, absolutely declined. And the way that it went down was, you know, I came up with the concept. I told Dave about it. He's like, let's do this. We're both working in the technology industry. I was like 26. And he just said, yeah, I'll help you do this on the nights and weekends. It'll be like a funny project. I was going to use it for a grad school application to Stanford.
Right.
And they were like, we move along. My buddy from college, it turned out, his dad was the CEO of this huge dry goods, like, development and manufacturing company based out of Idaho. I had no idea. And so I told him I was working on this thing. He's like, oh, call my dad. He knows some people.
Wow.
Call this guy up. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's stupid, but I'll help you out. And he pointed me in the right direction. It was like this great resource to get us going. And that was like the initial, how do we start a food company conversation.
I like that he helped you, but also let you know that it was stupid.
Yeah,
that's a nice touch.
Sure.
All right. This is the voice of Justin Escher on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, he is with J&D Foods in Seattle, and we're talking about, among other things, the new product that caught our attention, which is bacon condom. Now, just like we talked about with the lube, is the bacon condom something anyone would ever use in sex?
Have you seriously never dreamed of making your meat look like meat?
I'm going to go with no.
Lisa, it would be a deal breaker for you, Lisa,
well,
I assume.
What is the problem? Like, bacon is the food that men love.
Yeah, that's true.
So you need to give me a cake condom.
Oh, there you go.
Do you have cake condoms?
Write that down. Yeah.
Cupcakes?
We'll make a red bottom shoe condom, too.
Yeah, maybe frosting is the way to go for the ladies. That's an excellent. Maybe the bacon condom is going to be huge for you in the gay market, but maybe for the heterosexual sex, you got to get something going with frosting.
I'm happy you're the first one to bring that up, because I have learned over time that the vast majority of the usage of the sex products that we have created does play in the gay market space. We get a lot of interest from those publications and stuff. And, you know, hey, man, everybody's money spends the same, so I'm all
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. Of course.
And it's done well. It's a cool concept. I think people just think it's fun and funny. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation here in Seattle, they announced a contest a few weeks ago that's $100,000.
Oh, right, for a better condom.
The better condom, right. Yeah. So I just hit them up. I just went straight at Melinda and Bill on Twitter. You know, like where do I pick up my $100,000 check? Bacon condoms, the future. Win America. Let's do this.
How'd that work out for you?
They haven't gotten back to me yet, but you know, maybe today is the day.
I'm sure. I hope as we say goodbye, Justin, I hope that somewhere on the United States flag one day it says bacon condom, win America, let's do this. I think you've just created a new slogan for this country. All right, bacondom.com or baconsalt.com, or just do a Google search for any of these things and you'll come up with J&B Food headquarters. Justin Esch has been our guest. Fascinating story. It sounds like you're having a great time and making a living too, and that's all you can ask for in this crazy world. Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
USA! What a great country, huh?
USA! Absolutely.
All right. It's time for April Foolishness. How You Like Me Now tickets. The show's tomorrow, so this is going to be your last chance to get those tickets right up front. And we are going to play a game that you need to participate in. So give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Anything else they need to know?
I think that's it. Just be prepared to try to win the tickets. They're VIP tickets, which means you get the parking, you get the t-shirt, you get the party with Kevin and Bean, and you can call right now. We'll take your calls next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Camera. So tomorrow night, we take over the Gibson Amphitheater, a great night of comedy for Kevin and Bean's April Foolish to 2013. Of course, it is sold out. VIP tickets, parking, party, t-shirt, the whole deal. This is called, it's not called Title Fight. What are we calling it this time?
Funny Fight.
Funny Fight.
Everybody was funny fighting.
A funny fight.
You gotta be fast as lightning.
A funny fight.
And if you win, you'll be laughing.
A funny fight.
Cause you'll be April Foolishing.
A funny fight.
Oh,
hi-ya. Yeah.
That's that guy's job. That is someone's job right there.
And he goes home at the end of the day and he goes, nailed it. All right, let's meet contestant number one in the funny fight. This is going to be our friend Alfredo. He is on line one. He will be playing first here today. Hi, Alfredo. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I think Alfredo just hung up.
No.
Want to go to Jeremy on line four? We'll get him up first and we'll find a new competitor for him.
All right, let's go to Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm Lisa May.
Hello, Jeremy.
Jeremy, this game is just like the title fight that you've heard us do with song titles throughout the years here on K-Rock, except what's going to happen is you are going to be asked to come up with the name of a famous comedian. Now, this isn't a comedian who's necessarily on the bill at April Foolishness. This is just a famous comedian. And depending on who you pick, that person is going to be giving you clues 45 seconds on the clock. If you don't know, if you just have no idea, you can certainly say pass and come back to the end. Whoever gets the most in the 45 seconds wins the Foolishness tickets. Now, you have a very important decision to make. Who do you want to be your partner? Dave the King of Mexico, the reigning title fight champion, or Lisa May, who's way prettier?
Lisa May.
You gotta go with Lisa May.
Jeremy. I guess you don't want to go.
Right thinking American.
All right, again, so remember, we're gonna be asking you for names of comedians. Get as many as you can. 45 seconds on the clock. Who's keeping track of these, by the way? Okay. All right, good luck to you. Here we go.
He is was black. He died after. Right. Yes.
Yes.
This guy is a wild and crazy guy.
Steve Martin.
Yep.
This guy's on The Daily Show. He's really angry. Wait.
Lewis
Black. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. This guy's a transvestite. He was on our show last year. This guy has a series called Legit.
Jim Jeffries.
This guy was in Mork and Mindy.
Robin Williams.
This guy had his own show, and then when he was going to start it again, he disappeared and went to Africa, and no one could find him.
What?
Yes.
She used to be Jimmy Kimmel's girlfriend.
Paris Hilton.
Yes.
Oh.
Whoa.
Nice.
Nice
job.
So
seven.
Seven right out of in the 45
you
seconds. That's
awesome.
That's phenomenal, by the way. All right, well done. So you hang on. That's seven. That's going to be a tough one to beat. But let's go to line six and get Chris on.
Damn.
Chris, unfortunately, you not only have a great competitor who's gone ahead of you, but
oh,
you
Chris
also.
No, he didn't, did he?
Line six, right?
What?
He hung up.
Chris.
What happened?
Chris,
too much power. Too much power.
He didn't want to let me down.
Way to go, Chris.
Good job.
With the phones. That's weird.
Fall on the sword.
Possibly.
All right, who else you got? Can you pick somebody else
yep.
first?
We got Ronnie. Let's try right. Ronnie.
Ronnie, are you there?
Hi.
All right, good.
Hi.
Okay. Don't hang up. I apologize.
You ready to go?
I apologize that Dave the King of Mexico is going to be your compadre here, okay?
You better not suck, Ronnie.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, Jesus. She doesn't sound
Wait, can we put her back a hold? Can
confident.
She drop?
Nope.
No?
No?
Nope. She's
All
playing.
Right. 45 seconds on the clock. Dave is going to be getting you to say the names of famous comedians. Unfortunately, you have seven to try to beat, so good luck.
Love
Here
you,
we
Ronnie.
Go. All right, this guy has a show, and it goes, bow, 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 bow.
No clue.
Oh, my God. It was on NBC, one of the biggest comedy shows on NBC.
Conan O'Brien.
I hate Ronnie. All right, let's go.
Come on, keep going. Come on.
This guy invented the seven words you can't say on because of him, you can't say these words on radio.
Jay Moore?
Oh, I hate her. All right.
I hate you.
This guy has a show that ends with point O.
Point O?
All right, you would know you're a redneck if...
What was that?
You would know you're a redneck if... You, if you know this guy.
Zero!
I hate her!
Zero!
I hate her so much!
She got zero!
I hate her. I'm glad.
Could we just seriously crown Ronnie as the worst contestant in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show?
Ronnie.
Why did you even call?
I'm sorry for you, but Dave wasn't good either. So.
No, what are you talking about?
That's true.
Ronnie, just so you know, the famous comedian with the show was Jerry Seinfeld. Seven words you can't say on radio was George Carlin. Daniel Tosh is the Tosh.0 is what Dave was looking for, and the redneck jokes are Jeff Foxworthy. That's as far as you got, unfortunately. So you do not win, but thank you for listening and calling, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Bye, Ronnie.
Let's go back to our winner then, shall
Jeremy.
We?
Jeremy.
Nicely done.
Good job, Jeremy.
You are awesome.
You will be in the How You Like Me Now section at April Foolishness tomorrow night.
This is awesome. Like winning the Super Bowl 42-0 is what this is like.
God, Ronnie ruins it. Jeez.
Everybody was funny fighting.
A funny a fight.
We're going to meet great video remixer Mike Realm just after 9 o'clock this morning. He is going to be the opening act and playing throughout the night at April Foolishness tomorrow night at the Gibson Amphitheater. That guy is so amazing. Like how you edit videos together, Kevin. Do you even have a concept of how he's able to do what he does?
I have no idea. It takes me forever, and he does it like in a night.
Yeah, you can go to kevinbean.com and see some of Mike's work before he comes in here. Speaking of Mike's, Mike Schneider on the phone. He is the TV Guide Magazine Los Angeles Bureau Chief. This has been a big week for television for a couple of stories that we want to talk to you about. Mr. Schneider, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Fire beer mug.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's start with that.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's always great to have you on, sir. We want to, of course, talk about the late night thing. But first, a few words about Roger Ebert, who I'm sure you, along with everybody in television, was a fan of, admirer of his work that we lost yesterday at the age of 70. He was a big, big deal on TV for a long, long time, right?
Yeah, a huge deal. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, he was a film critic, but he popularized the form. I mean, he was an amazing journalist at the same time. All of us who work in the business, owe a debt of gratitude and respect to him. And journalism is a sadder place today that he's no longer around.
And you know what? You can almost make the comparison that just like there'll never be another film critic as popular as Roger Ebert, because when he was so popular on TV with the Siskel and Ebert show, there wasn't an internet and there wasn't a million other ways to get reviews. In a way, that's kind of the conversation that we're having about late night TV. Those hosts may be popular. They make a lot of money for their networks, but there's nobody like Johnny Carson used to be, or even David Letterman used to be back in the early days of his show. They're all fighting for splinters in late night now, right?
Right. I mean, you know, the most popular thing right now late night for young folks is Adult Swim. People aren't even watching talk shows anymore. So it's a different form now. Just people aren't watching what they used to in late night. It's changed.
Now, we're, of course, know Jimmy Kimmel. We're friends with Jimmy Kimmel. And so, of course, he's our favorite late night host. But is this why NBC is making the move at 11:35? Or why are they getting rid of Jay again? What's happening?
Yeah,
It's one of the reasons. I mean, I'm still not sure that it's a good idea, to tell you the truth. You know, Jay is still number one, at least in total viewers, and NBC has other problems in other, you know, in prime time and with the Today Show, and maybe you don't mess with what's still kind of working right now. But his contract was up, and you know, they are looking at, you know, Kimmel's doing well with younger viewers, and then, like I said, you know, Adult Swim, but then also you know, Daily Show, Colbert. I think they're worried that they're going to lose out if they don't make that change now, and so they were kind of caught between the rock and a hard place.
What would you do if you were running the network?
I would have tried to at least keep Leno on for maybe another year or two and wring out every last ratings point you could before you make that change. And I think Jay would have said sure, and you know, and then they would have put off and hopefully fixed primetime first and fixed morning before they had to make the big change in late night. But, you know, that's just not the way it turned out.
How do you think, and I'm asking for speculation here, Michael, but how do you think Jay Leno feels about being asked to leave? Because he seems to love this job so much, and of course he left last time kicking and screaming kind of against his will. Do you think he is accepting it this time with grace?
You know, I think publicly he is, but I'm sure privately, I mean, that guy would have been willing to die in that chair. He's actually said that before. He would have done it until the end of time. So, you know, I that's why I think ultimately we're not going to see him go away. Right now he's saying he's going to, you know, go off and you know, do stand-up and you know, toy with his cars. But I think we'll see him on TV again somewhere.
You think on another network?
Possibly, maybe on cable. You know, maybe not doing a late-night talk show, but maybe doing a weekly show. I mean, who knows? But he's still going to be somewhere.
All right. Let's talk about, there haven't been very many hosts in the 60-year history of The Tonight Show. There have only been a handful of guys who have held that job. How does Jimmy Fallon stack up when he takes over in 2014? Will we think he's the right choice?
You know, he's really impressed on late night. I don't think a lot of people were expecting much from him when they first announced him way back in the day. It seemed a little odd. You know, there's this guy who hadn't done well in the movies and you know, was sort of, you know, fine on Saturday Night Live, but just another player on Saturday Night Live. To take over late night was a big deal. But he came in and he kicked some ass. I mean, he did a great job. He was smart in bringing in the Roots as the house band and yeah, you know, he's done so many viral videos. He came along right when Twitter and YouTube started. It was the perfect time for him, just like Kimmel, too. I mean, both of those guys have really taken new media by storm and social media, and they were smart and both created these new style talk shows. And so I think he is probably the right host at this time.
When might this happen?
Spring 2014, right after the Olympics.
So about a year from now.
Yeah, about a year from now.
Hmm. Now, a lot of people are saying, you know, it seems like many in the media are not in love with Jimmy Fallon. They, you know, they say, oh, he's a talented guy and he's fine, but they don't get excited about him the way they do about a guy like Jon Stewart or somebody like that. But doesn't he play so well to such a broad spectrum of people throughout the United States? Isn't he perfect for The Tonight Show just for that reason alone, is that he kind of doesn't offend anybody?
Yeah, I mean, that's the pro and the con of Fallon. I think his critics argue that maybe that's part of the problem is he isn't edgy enough and maybe isn't the best interviewer, but you know, he is smart, he is funny, he is broad, which is great, and you know, he really has embraced pop culture, and you know, when you see him, say, on the show, do the history of hip-hop with Justin Timberlake, it's hysterical, and it's really, it's likable, it's smart, it's funny, it's a little edgy, but not too edgy. I think he walks that line where he walks right up to edge, doesn't quite cross it. And that might be good for you know, trying to maintain that broad Jay Leno audience.
What do you think about the decision to move The Tonight Show from California back to New York? It's been in on the West Coast for a long, long time. I mean, I assume that's the only way that Jimmy and the Roots and Lorne Michaels would have done it, right?
Yeah, and in some ways, I mean, people are making a big deal about that, but it's still the Jimmy Fallon Show. So really, the Jimmy Fallon Show is not moving anywhere. It's just moving time slots. It's been in New York, and so it's going to stay in New York. And I still get the feeling, they haven't said this yet, but I got to imagine they're going to want to move late night out here to L.A. in order to keep that sort of West Coast, East Coast balance. So we'll wait and see what they do with that. But I wouldn't make too big of a deal about that.
Is it going to make much of a difference when you have Letterman and Fallon both in New York? Aren't there going to be an awful lot of guests sitting out here in Los Angeles who aren't going to have a show to go on once they've done Kimmel?
Well, they've got Kimmel, they've got Craig Ferguson. They'll probably have a late night out here.
So, you know, there's no shortage of shows these days. But, yeah, they're, New York now is super booked because you've got those shows, and then you've also got Daily Show and Colbert. So there's no shortage of shows for guests in New York these days.
This is the voice of Michael Snyder, TV Guide Magazine, L.A. Bureau Chief. Hey, before we let you go, I mentioned the Tonight Show has been on for about 60 years. TV Guide celebrating its 60th anniversary right now, too. You guys are doing some special stuff for that?
Nice segue, Bean. Yeah, we've got a great issue on stands right now and some great stuff. I talked to 13 of the biggest TV titans out there and asked them, you know, what they watch, what they like, what sort of inspired them. It's a fun story, and it's a great issue. So it's on stands now, ladies and gentlemen.
Get out there and read it.
Thank you, Michael. Always great to have you on. We appreciate the time.
Definitely.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph?
Before I beat you, let me give you some things.
Okay.
This Saturday, tomorrow, at Santa Anita Racetrack, it's one of our spectacular K-Rock infield concerts, this one featuring Iration. Besides the band, you also get beer. They got lots of microbrews out there. They got food trucks. And you've got Thoroughbred Racing all day long.
And there's beer.
I don't
know if we mentioned
And there's
that.
A party. And then as if that wasn't enough, you get to hang with the likes of Stryker, Cat Corbett, Nicole Alvarez, Lightning, Omar, and Dave the King of Mexico. All right, maybe those last couple aren't so great, but it's a great day at Santa Anita. Always a fun time. Gates open at 10 a.m. It's just $5 to get in. But here's what I'd like to do to encourage you to attend. I'm going to give you a special VIP package. I'm going to give away two of these. Here's what the package includes. Free admission for four people. You and three friends get to go. Backstage access, eight drink tickets, and a voucher for $106 that you get to bet on the ponies. You're betting with the house money. You're already ahead. Go to this event. If you'd like to get this VIP package, 1-800-520-1067. Call right now. First two callers to get through with that number. Boom. VIPs. Just like that. That's what you are.
Sounds to me like if you don't go, you lose money.
That's what I'm saying. How do we do it? We stock them deep and we sell them cheap. That's what we do here at K-Rock. Sad news everyone heard yesterday. Roger Ebert, one of the preeminent film critics of our time, passed away at the age of 70, succumbing to cancer.
Next week, The Balcony is closed.
Succumbing to cancer after a long, long battle. He was perhaps the most famous movie critic, do you think? Along with
Gotta
his partner, Gene Siskel?
Gotta be.
Sometimes the funniest. Great list today came out of some of Roger Ebert's best zingers of movies he did not like. Like The Last Airbender. M. Night Shyamalan's film.
Sure.
An agonizing experience in every category I can think of and others still waiting to be invented. Tyler Perry's Temptation just came out a couple weeks ago. He reviewed.
Sure.
Take one of those cheesy direct-to-video erotic thrillers from the early 90s that kept Tanya Roberts and Shannon Tweed in cigarette money and remove virtually all the erotic content. He said regarding this film. Battlefield Earth, the legendary L. Ron Hubbard movie with John Travolta.
Yes.
Sure.
It's like taking a bus trip with someone who has needed a bath for a long time. It's not merely bad, it's unpleasant in a hostile way. And lastly, the Twilight Saga, New Moon. Sitting through this experience is like driving a tractor in low gear through a sullen sea of Brill Cream. So, man had a way with a phrase. Good stuff.
I don't like you in that way. Their headline was Two Thumbs Down. Those are touching tributes.
Sure. Jenny McCarthy, in an interview with the Huffington Post about embarrassing sex stories, revealed this one. I was in college. I had just broken up with my high school sweetheart of like 7 years, so I hadn't been with anyone except him. So she's with this guy in college, and they get together, and they do it. And he says to her, are you hungry? And I said, yeah. He said, there's a McDonald's across the street. What do you want? And I said, a Big Mac, extra sauce, no pickles. He's like, okay. Then he got up and left and never came back. And I was in his apartment. And I'm thinking to myself, even then, back in her hottest period, no one could bear to listen to her talk after they were done having sex with her. Guy left his own home just to
abandoned
get away
it forever.
From her.
Probably never came back.
He probably sat across the street with binoculars waiting for her to take the walk of shame home so he could reclaim his apartment. But he had no intention of having a conversation with that woman.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular. That might be a topic we want to explore, embarrassing sex stories sometime here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ralph, did you ever do that?
Left his own place.
You ever do what, son?
back out after sex, just mysteriously vanish or anything like that?
No, I never abandoned ship.
Because we've certainly talked to people, you know, we've had dating calls where people got up to go to the bathroom and just never returned to the table. They just abandoned people on a date, but it's even worse after sex.
Yeah, I never did that either. I was never in a date so bad that I couldn't finish it. I mean, sometimes you wrap it up a little bit. You just, you know what? I don't think I'm not really in the mood for dessert right now. You know, you skip to get the check a little bit earlier than others. But I never abandoned a woman. That's just
no. Go ahead and order coffee, but let's get it in a to-go cup, would you?
That is cruel beyond even my capacity.
But you're so happy to hear that it happened to Jenny.
Oh yeah, well yeah, because she's horrible.
If you ever hear what do you want for McDonald's right after sex, be worried.
She's horrible on every level. Gene Simmons has a new idea. Fresh as today's headlines, he's going to make a TV show.
Okay.
That will have a hidden camera that will show people getting pranked. Come on! That sounds like a recipe for success.
No.
Yeah, apparently the twist is the pranks will be pulled on some of the world's biggest rock bands. So he's going to punk rock bands. And he's going to think that you're going to want to see that.
All right.
Anyone?
No.
I don't think so.
No?
Nope.
All right. And Disney has announced they're remaking The Black Hole. I rented that, by the way, and you would not think it's a film from Disney at all. You would really be surprised.
I think you may have rented a different one.
What? The Black Hole was Disney's 1979 answer to Star Wars and the phenomenon. They did a high-budget, high-special-effects, live-action science fiction film that did not do well. So I think this film actually would benefit from a reboot. The concept was pretty good. It just didn't capture anyone's imagination. So Disney's going to trot it out and brush it off and see if they can make it work this time around. I give them all the support in the world.
I'm surprised more people don't do that, where they tried something and something went wrong and didn't work.
That's the movie you remake.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The one.
Yeah, yeah.
The one that's got a really good basic story or a kernel of something in there that's interesting but didn't catch on.
You
thought
the box
it
was
office.
Good. You can't understand what happened.
Take that one. Yeah. Fix that one up. And then put that one back out there in the market. Don't remake Citizen
Spider-Man.
Kane and Casablanca and Wizard of Oz, for corn's sake.
When I'm running things, it'll be
all
different.
All going to be different, Kevin.
Yep. Can you
all
imagine what our options would be like if Kevin were in charge of Hollywood?
Casablanca would be remade, but it would be like bombs going off, laser beams shot out of things.
If you're trying to get a movie made in Kevin's studio, if the script is more than 10 pages of dialogue, you're out.
Just boom, bang, boom, just write a big crayon in pages, just explosion.
You guys underestimate me.
Do we?
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Mitch Pileggi, one of our favorites from The X-Files, currently can be seen on Dallas on TNT, 61 years old. Mike McCready of Pearl Jam's 47 years old. Paula Cole, singer and songwriter, 45 years old. Christopher Reed, he was Kid of Kid in Play, is 49 years old today. Okay, not a spectacular group of birthdays, but yesterday's was really good. You have to give me that one. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
We're going to talk to a young man in about 15 minutes or so who's making $15 million a year, ladies and gentlemen. C.J. Wilson, pitcher for the Angels, is going to be joining us here on the Kevin Mead Show. First, though, a guy who makes significantly less, but who we enjoy just as much.
Thanks.
Mike Realm joins us in studio here on the Kevin Mead Show.
Hey, everyone.
He, of course, is the famous DJ and VJ. And what do they call you? Turntablist? What are all the names that they have for what you do,
the
Mike?
Video remixer, DJ, scratcher.
Now, we fell in love with your videos years ago and feature them every single week on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. You can see a whole collection of some of Mike's greatest hits at kevinandbean.com right now. So we've been watching your stuff for a long time. But is this what you do for a living? Can you make money doing video remixing?
I make a ton of money. No.
$15 million a year?
Yeah, easily. No, I mean, yeah, I make money on it. It's what I'm originally a DJ, so that's what I did for many years, and this is sort of a new thing. So
but how do you make money on it? Does like the Warner Brothers come to you and go, hey, remix my Harry Potter movie and we'll pay you?
Sometimes it happens like that. Sometimes it's something that I'm just like, what would make Internet Roundup this week? And so that's how those happen. A la Honey Boo Boo and Gangnam Style.
Now, what do they use your video? Like the Iron Man 2 one is a perfect example of a great one that I know is super, super popular. Is that something that's kind of your commission for, and then they use it as part of their marketing and advertising?
Well, honestly, that one I did because I liked Iron Man.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then it ended up being something that they commissioned me to do a commercial for. In that style. So I was like, oh, whoa, this is a thing.
That's
now.
Pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You've created a thing.
Yeah. From my brain.
And I think Dave the King of Mexico discovered you at Coachella one year.
Yes.
He was just walking by a tent you were playing and saw some bizarre video up there and just kind of was drawn to it. I think it was really high that day.
My tractor beam was strong.
Very lucky. How many different kinds of videos do you have access to when you're performing live?
Wow, I have an arsenal. By now, you know, I've amassed a pretty big hard drive full of stuff. Like, I can pull, you know, funny stuff or, like, you know, epic stuff or dance stuff or just, like, you know, if I'm doing a show and the crowd's not feeling something, I can kind of make a left turn and go a different direction, maybe do some rock or hip-hop or something.
Right, I understand musically, but your video stuff that you do at the same time, though, I mean, like, sometimes you'll throw a Simpsons up there, and then you might throw an Arrested Development scene up there, right?
Yeah, yeah. I just use everything that I like.
It's just not legal. Yeah.
No, that's what you're asking. No, it's not. It's not. No, I don't get clearance for it. No, don't ask. You got to ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Well, we wanted to have somebody at April Foolishness that was entertaining. We've had in past years, we had Jimmy Kimmel and his house band, but they were going to be gone this year. So we were trying to rack our minds. We were like, who could we get to be up on stage and to do something entertaining rather than just have a house music or whatever? Mm-hmm. And you came to mind. We were like, that would be awesome if he would do it. And Dave met you for lunch and he's like, he's in. And we were like, really?
How can I not? This is an amazing show with awesome comedians. Also, I've never opened for comedians before, so this is going to be pretty interesting.
It's going to be a new experience.
So people that get there, there'll be some videos up on the board an hour before I think it begins, and then you're going to have the full 10 or 15 minutes, I think, at the beginning.
Sweet.
To do your thing. Now, what are you remixing? Can you tell us?
Doing some I kind of don't want to tell you.
Well, don't tell us that.
There's some new stuff happening.
Is
so if you see me before, you're going to see some new stuff.
Now, how much do you do live?
All of it's live. All of it's live. I have what you're seeing is I'm scratching and mixing these video clips and movies and stuff like that. But I have beats too, so I'm like scratching them and making a song out of it. So it's not just like nonsense. I'm building something. You know what I mean? It's not as pretentious as it sounds.
That's pretty impressive.
It sounds tough.
And we're always in awe of, and we made reference to this a few minutes ago on the show, and we're talking to Mike Realm here, who's the house DJ for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness tomorrow night at the Gibson Amphitheater. Kevin is a great video editor himself, and he does videos for the site sometimes, and they're really, really good.
Great is an exaggeration, but thank you.
But he makes it sound like it takes 14 solid days of work to get it to look that good. The impression we get from you is the day a trailer comes out, you've got a remix up 4 hours later. It's insane how fast you work.
It's annoying.
I work very fast.
I'll be honest. I've been working for 2 weeks on a Coachella one that I hope to have done on Monday. 2 weeks. How long did that take you?
I don't know.
You bastard.
Maybe a couple hours. but I kind of zone out and I don't really have a life, so that helps.
What has been, I know some of your some of the videos on your YouTube channel are well over a million views. What is the biggest thing you've done, Mike?
Views-wise, I think it was probably the Old Spice remix. The Old Spice guy with this.
That's right.
You know, and then there's this lady getting a tattoo who was kind of freaking out.
I remember her.
Bean, you remember he did a Victor Fuentes.
Really?
One of our favorite.
Yeah.
You did Victor? Oh, that's awesome.
You
got
to
find
that?
Yeah. Do you have it? I'd love to hear some of that.
Apartment operator 75, what's the address, please? All right. What's your name?
Victor Fuentes. Victor Fuentes.
All right. What's wrong right now? What's wrong right now?
Pretty cool.
That's awesome.
He does it live.
You know, I bring in a lot of audio sound bites for this show, Mike, and I'm at the point now where I can't even really just relax and enjoy and watch TV anymore because I always have my ears, you know, peeled for audio. Yeah. Are you that way too? Like, you can't enjoy a movie anymore because you're watching and you go, oh, I need that part.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. I mean, I was like that for years, just being a DJ, you know, with music. Like, that's how I listen to music. And that's how I watch movies and stuff now too. It's like, oh, gotta get that on.
Well, it's gonna be such a fun night tomorrow night. Of course, April Foolishness is sold out. Jay Moore on the bill, Bill Burr, Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir. Our friend Brad Williams is going to be there once again. We're benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project in Cedars-Sinai NICU, so we're very excited to be back at the Gibson with an added wrinkle this year of having you in person entertaining the crowd. So, and you're not just going to come on at the beginning. You're going to be playing a little bit in between the various comedians too, right?
I will be there all night.
Fantastic. That's going to be great. We're so excited to have you, Mike. Thank you so much for agreeing to do it. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm psyched.
Hey!
funny. That's
See, why
funny.
Don't you come up with good ideas like Jimmy Fallon does, Ralph?
Like 5 years ago when I was doing Clucking the Hits with Clucky the Chicken, and you guys were like, that's stupid, that's not funny, we're not doing that bit again.
I thought I liked it. I remember liking
no,
it.
No, you didn't like
I
it.
I didn't like
no,
it?
No, it's dumb.
Clucking I liked, the Hits? I think I liked
no,
Clucky
you
also.
Didn't. You liked it? That's
I think
why
Clucky
we haven't
was
done
fun.
It in 5 years.
We'll do Clucking the Hits on Monday for Coachella. How about
no,
that?
Now, because people say, oh, you're stealing from Jimmy Fallon. But I was doing it 5 years ago. He's getting Tonight Show, and I'm stuck with you jackholes.
Sucks for you, man.
Yeah, it does.
It really does.
That's a dumb idea. We're not doing that again.
We know comedy, man.
That's funny. Clucking songs is funny.
It is funny, actually.
Yeah, I know.
True. You should have brought it up.
9:36. Time for whatever what he said with Clucky.
You know, earlier in the show, when Kevin and I were having a spirited debate about the large boob versus small boobs, and Kevin said how much he loves small boobs, I thought he was full of it until I looked at his Twitter account, and then I realized if you look at every picture Kevin tweets, nothing but girls with tiny boobs. He's right. He's actually telling the truth when he says he loves small boobs.
No, if you like.
Oh, wait a minute! Every picture you put on Twitter is a girl with giant cans,
but her frame supports it. Like Kate Upton, for example, she looks good with that size boob. And that's a big boob. I'm all good with that.
Giant size can.
And I'm saying smaller girls look great with smaller boobs. That's dumb. No one will ever think that's funny.
Speaking of hot girls and boobs, we got to do something about this genie girl, this DirecTV genie girl. We got to do something.
Who's this?
The DirecTV genie girl.
Now, Ralph, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I thought that was Fiona Apple in that commercial, no?
Oh, my God.
I thought it was Tyra Banks.
Is it not Fiona Apple? The commercial that I've seen shows a girl. She has a big television screen in front of her. You only see her face for a few seconds.
I'm a little woozy from how wrong you are. I feel like somebody punched me right in the head.
Ralph literally couldn't talk.
No girl has ever been less Fiona Apple than Hannah Davis, the DirecTV genie.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah, that's who it is.
Okay. All right, so let's start over. What do we have to do about her?
Jay Leno is singing in that song. You're just on a tear this week.
No, I just look. I didn't go the extra step you did, which is to Google the commercial to find out who it was. But I saw her face and I thought, wow, that looks like Fiona Apple. I wonder if that's her doing the ad. I'm not swearing by it. I just assumed it was her because it looked like her. But if you're saying somebody else, I accept that. What do you want to do about her? What's the problem with her?
I don't know, but something's got to be done.
Like what?
To her or with her or something. I don't know. We got to get her on the show.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Well, there's that possibility.
Right?
Yes.
There is that.
We have to get her on the show. We have to give her prizes or something. We got to do something.
All right. I am on a page with 24 photos of her. I'm sure you've seen it on thechive.com. And tell me she doesn't look like Fiona Apple. You can see why I made the error.
That's all. She's got big eyes.
Very similar.
She's got big eyes like the girl. I thought she looks more like the girl from Modern Family who plays the older daughter on that show.
I can see that,
Could
too.
Could I just chime in here? Now we know it's not Fiona Apple, so let's move the F on.
Right, but I see how I'm right, even though I'm wrong. I understand that I'm still right, though, right?
I absolutely was wrong, but I'm saying it wasn't ridiculous that I thought that in the 1 second I saw her on my TV.
It was a understandable mistake. Can we move on?
She's very pretty, Ralph. We should do something with her.
I thought maybe DirecTV went back in time and found Fiona Apple when she was 21 years old and attractive and put her in a commercial. You could see why I thought that.
Let's either get her on the show or have her fight to the death with the T-Mobile girl in the octagon.
Yeah, T-Mobile girl's out of a job. I feel bad for her. I'm getting something with her, too. And again, I don't know what, but something's got to be done. Something's got to be Fiona Apple. We have to get her on the show. No, just we can get emails from a lot of listeners saying, you guys aren't talking about the genie girl from DirecTV, and usually we do. Speak up when there's an attractive spokesmodel on our television sets. We've been remiss.
I don't notice that. Personally.
No, you don't. That's sweet boobies. Well, I don't sound like them.
I can't believe Kevin hasn't tweeted a photo of this one already.
I can't either.
How dare you?
Kevin spends probably 48 minutes of every hour tweeting photos of girls during the show.
It's craziness.
It is.
We can't get him to do the show, but he'll sit on the mat in the corner, rocking back and forth like a severely damaged child, just tweeting out booby pictures from Egotastic.
I can't help it that I'm the only one here that can multitask. All right. Is that what you guys are saying?
Let's do a little showbiz news. Roger Ebert has passed away. Happened yesterday. Sad, sad news. Perhaps America's most famous, beloved film critic, along with his partner Gene Siskel, they had a
popular TV show that really was the first of its kind for many, many years. And Ebert wrote the most reviews he had ever written in a single year in 2012, even with his illness that he was facing.
Wow.
306 reviews that year.
Well, he's not one of those guys who went away because he got off television. He still continued to write for the Chicago Sun-Times and for the Roger Ebert blog and was very, very popular on Twitter. He had quite an audience.
That's 306, did you say?
306 reviews.
That's a lot of damn movies to watch.
A lot of movies. He was a film fan first and then a film critic second. I think that's what a lot of people reacted to in his work. So he will be missed by people who... We'll miss him. I'm trying to be as respectful as possible. Tom Cruise, speaking of movies, stars in the movie Oblivion. That's coming up soon. And he said in an interview that he believes in aliens.
Oh, really?
Shocking.
I mean, a lot of people believe in the possibility of aliens. Is he going a step further than that?
He says...
he's a Scientologist.
And they have a... The core of their church's beliefs has to do with extraterrestrial beings, so I guess he would sort of have to. He doesn't come out and say that, though, in the interview. He said, it might be a little arrogant to think we're the only ones in all the galaxies throughout the universe. But I've never met one, he said. Wink, wink. Mm. In the interview, he also said that his movie, Minority Report, from 2002, gave Apple the idea for the iPad.
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mugs.
He also said he'd love to visit space one day. In fact, he is on the short list of celebrities who have ponied up their $200,000 apiece to sit on the Virgin Galactic upcoming two-hour flight that's scheduled for December 2013. $200,000 for 2 hours flying around space. It's a pricey ticket.
Yeah, it seems like when you land, you go, well, that went fast.
Well, geez, I'll never get that money back again. You know, I sure was in space, though. I'm sure I saw the moon.
That'd be cool.
It would be cool. I don't know if it's $200,000 cool.
I'm going to wait until it comes down to a couple hundred bucks.
Like $25.95, I'd do it. And they got to throw in free Wi-Fi and a meal. Or a snack, something.
Some nuts.
Arrested Development's next season has a start date. It's going to be on Netflix May the 26th.
Yay!
15 brand new episodes of Arrested Development. I can't remember last time I was so excited about a TV show coming back.
If you ever watch that, boy, it's all on DVD.
Get it all. And watch it all.
It's just so funny and so good and so frustrating that it didn't make it on television. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's coming back, and then we get a feature film. So.
Yep.
Our patience is being rewarded, as is it is this weekend when Mad Men comes back. Don't forget, Sunday night, Mad Men, two-hour season premiere.
Kevin, you psyched?
I'm sorry, what?
Nobody blows up in it. I'm not watching.
I set my TiVo to record it, but then I needed that spot for something else, so I took it back off.
And an interview with the Huffington Post about most embarrassing sex stories. Jenny McCarthy told a story when she was in college. She met a boy, went back to their place, got to know each other, wink, wink. And right afterwards, Jenny says, he said to me, are you hungry? I said, yeah. He said, there's a McDonald's right across the street. What do you want? I'm like, I want a Big Mac, extra sauce, no pickles. He's like, okay, and he got up and left and never came back. And I was in his apartment.
Wow. How long do you wait?
Well, she said she waited for 4 hours, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
I looked out the window, and I realized McDonald's was closed.
How do you not leave at hour three?
She has faith, man.
Anderson, for God's sakes.
Pull it together, Anderson. I know it's Jenny McCarthy, but... No one could bear to have a conversation with her, even that dude in college.
Just went and spent the night at someone else's place.
It was so glad I had sex with her, but now I really have to talk to her.
It was his apartment.
He left his own apartment.
Just abandoned it.
It's like chewing off your own arm.
I'm just going to write that off.
Apparently he burned it down afterwards. Burned it to the ground. Everybody's really laughing at Jenny's expense. It's kind of funny. It's not that funny. We all.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
enough.
You sure? I guarantee Bean could go for another 10 minutes if
I got a few.
If we require that.
Back to you, Ralph.
Was that Fiona Apple laughing? I think that was Fiona Apple laughing. It sounded just like her.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Paula Cole's 45 years old today. Mike McCready of Pearl Jam's 47. Christopher Reed of Kid and Play celebrates his 49th birthday. Mitch Pileggi, one of our favorite actors from X-Files, now can be seen on Dallas on TNT. He's 61 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Is the Friday Showbiz Beat consistently the worst of the week because of everybody but you?
Yes. I think me included. I don't want to exclude myself. Because we're so desperate and so eager to get out of this building, we can barely contain ourselves.
We'll see you tomorrow night at Phyllis.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Could a father not marry his son?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, buddy.
Roll another one.
Not so funny when it's your mom, is it?
Just like the other one.
Asshole.
This one seems to be a lot of win.
Where's the outrage then?
I need another hit.
I imagine you have a big...
Maybe.
Oh, how big is it?
I'm not sure.
You haven't measured it?
I haven't measured.
It's like, what, 3 inches?
Maybe.
4?
3.
Roll another one.
Remember Paula Abdul's?
Just like the other one.
Kevin, I love you.
This one seems to be out today.
Yeah, what's up?
I don't have another cent.
What happens if the zombies come? Are you...
My name is Big Bad Bun, not Jack.
Just pass it around.
This isn't funny.
What a mother that died, my friend.
And her Lisa May.
Just pass it around.
Thank you, rock and rollers. I just want to say how thrilled everybody is backstage with the way you've received our show.
What's my cue? You know what? It doesn't matter. I don't know my lines.
Cut!
Enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday play!
Hey, one more thing.
Nope. I'm Mark Thompson. Assalamu alaikum.
So there you have it, K-Rock listeners. It's a wrap. That's how you get it done. See? Learn, kids.
So until next week, the balcony is closed.